This is PFW in Progress.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is the distinct pleasure of the management to present to you the evening star attraction. Here they are, back after their exclusive 3-year tour of Europe, Scandinavia, and the subcontinent. Won't you welcome
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Who wants an orange whip? Orange whip? Orange whip? 3 orange whips.
Paul Perillo.
Got any fried chicken?
Best damn chicken in the state.
Bring me 4 fried chickens and a Coke.
You want chicken wings or chicken legs?
4 fried chickens and a Coke.
And some dry white toast, please.
And Andy. And Andy?
It wasn't my fault, honest. I ran out of gas. I had a flat tire. I didn't have enough money for cab fare. My tux didn't come back from the cleaners. An old friend came in from out of town. Someone stole my car.
Andy Hart.
There was an earthquake. A terrible flood. Locust. It wasn't my fault. I swear to God.
Some guy named Tom.
Are you the police?
No, ma'am. We're musicians. We're on a mission from God.
And you never know. Lori might stop by.
Well, now, what can I get you boys? You thirsty? You hungry? Or you just driving through? Maybe like a beer or something a little harder?
No, thank you, ma'am. We may be sucking back a few beers a little later on. We'll be here all night. You see, we're the band.
PFW in Progress.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now my mic's on. Fred Kirsch and Andy, it was red and it kind of was glowing. Maybe
it wasn't glowing.
The way the light was hitting it.
No, you just didn't do it properly.
All right. Fred Kirsch and Andy Hart here, PFW in Progress, on a Tuesday after a big, big win against the Chicago Bears, something the Patriots desperately needed. Desperately needed.
Sound like Casale.
A home win.
Elementary.
Yeah, a home win. Some home cooking on the new turf against the NFC best, the best defense in the league. And despite the 5 turnovers, I think you got to be happy with the win. I'd rather be saying they won despite 5 turnovers than what we've been saying is that they lost despite playing bad. You know,
I'm glad you brought that up, and I'm glad you opened the show that way, because I think there's been an underlying Ask PFW email. Some people come away from the win almost saying, oh, boy, we're in trouble. That
right.
wasn't pretty. That wasn't – I don't have that feeling.
Right.
They beat the best the NFC has to offer in a tough, hard-fought game. What do you want? We've said all along they can't beat good opponents. They can't beat good teams at home. This was a quality win at home. It wasn't perfect.
Right.
But that happens when you play a very good defense like
and
that.
And I think that Ron Borges, you know, we
Well, I think he went a little overboard the other
well,
way.
Well, no, I think that he was right on when the fact that if you look at the turnovers that the Patriots committed, at least 3 of them you can say were because of aggressive Bears defense. Now, you need to protect the ball. I'm not making any excuses, but the hit on Watson where the ball popped up, I mean, that was a good lick. You know, a couple of, you know, those are good hits by the Bears that force those defense, those turnovers. And, the Patriots need to take better care of the ball. But, you know, you got to credit the Bears defense as well for causing those turnovers. So it wasn't like just careless play. I mean, both of Brady's interceptions were tip balls. They were not
right.
his fault.
Well, one was sort of a bad throw. The one behind Troy was sort of a bad throw.
It went off his hands.
Yeah, but it was well behind him.
Okay.
I think you at least give the quarterback 50-50 blame in that.
Okay. Well, usually Troy, but anyway, you know, and then the double fumble, of course.
But, that one too.
That was a bad one.
Yeah, especially the second part, once you get your luck on a play and recover it,
right.
get down.
Yeah.
We heard Richie Caldwell say he was aware. They've been told all week,
right.
the Bears come after you, they're going to knock it out. You got fortunate there in that you got a second chance at that play. Right. Get down, take the gain, go back to the huddle, and live to fight another
right,
day.
Right.
But I think Borges went so far as to say the fumbled snap between Rex Grossman and Olin Krutz was
because
of Vince Wilfork.
Well, he was
Come
trying
on,
to,
a
yeah,
fumbled
no.
snap is a fumbled snap.
Right. Right.
That's not acceptable. That's first thing you work on in training camp, so you don't have that happen.
But, you know, against the Colts and the Jets, we were saying, well, you know, they played so poorly, but they only lost by a touchdown. They only lost by three. They had a chance. I'd rather be saying they played poorly and they won.
And won against a good team,
right.
A 9-1 football team.
Right.
I don't care what you think of the NFC. That's the best of the NFC, so that's a good football team. The other argument I've heard, and Michael Felger was promoting this yesterday, that if you did that against the Chargers or the Broncos or the Ravens or any of those teams, you would have lost. Did what? You turned the ball over five times, they turned it over four. I think if you play that game at home against any of those teams,
right.
You have a chance to win.
Absolutely.
Now, if you turn it over five times to zero, yeah. You lose. You get killed.
Plus,
but that wasn't the game.
See, what people aren't taking, what they're saying by what they're saying in that is that, well, those other offenses will score more points because Rex Grossman stinks so much. But any other team that turns the ball over four times into the Patriots' hands, the Patriots are going to score on them more because their defense isn't
not
as good
the Bears' defense. Right.
So, I mean, that's what it was all about.
It was a good win between two good teams.
Yeah.
Entertaining. The game had absolutely everything you could ask for, from penalties to reviews to timeouts, missed kicks, blocked kicks.
Oh.
Every single thing you could wish for. Had a game maybe decided by the new field turf.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick says he wouldn't have attempted the field goal on the old turf. That ends up sort of being the difference in the game, because if you only have a 4-point lead there when the Bills, the Bears go for it, and maybe they score, maybe they win 17-14.
Yeah. So it's a lot to talk about in the game. On the entertainment scale, it was definitely a 10. A lot of fun to watch. I think fans should be happy with this one. But, you know, one of the things I wanted to, you know, there's a lot that we can talk about today, but one of the things I want to talk about is, I'm throwing this question out there. Is the pressure of winning in the NFL because of the 16-game schedule, it's a short schedule compared to all the other sports, is the pressure getting to a lot of these teams and players? You know, the money's bigger now. The pressure to win is bigger than it ever was. I mean, you see things like Michael Vick, you know, flipping off his fans. You see Charlie Fry getting attacked by one of his own teammates. You see the Giants having a team-only meeting. You know, that's falling apart over there. You know, obviously, you know, forget about T.O. because that's always, you know, doesn't matter what the pressure would be. He'd be. But you see a lot of stuff going on that it seems to be like, you know, at the first hint of, oh, we're going in the wrong direction, guys are just freaking out.
No, I don't think it's NFL specific. I mean, I think that's professional sports.
You don't think because of the short schedule?
No.
And
I think you see it in the NBA. I think you see it in Major League Baseball. They have long schedules.
No, that's what I'm saying. But I don't see it as much.
It's professional sports.
You
it's the competition. It's the pressures, the monies, the coaches, everything. Everything's on the line.
But
and you see
it more this year in the NFL than you have?
I don't think so.
No?
No. I think it happens all the time.
These guys going
sports.
Out and getting drunk and getting stopped. There's more DUIs this year than ever.
I think it happens in all sports. All the things you're talking about happen in all sports on a pretty consistent basis.
I see a rise in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't.
You don't?
No.
Well, okay.
I just think.
I let's see what our. You
plus,
know,
it's the internet. I mean, there's more out there. You wouldn't have always heard if a backup running back got a DUI or whatever.
But it's that plus all the other stuff that we're seeing.
But all the time in the NBA, you see fights in the NBA all the time. You see guys flipping off or going into the crowd. I think you see it in all. Shea Hillenbrand got into a fight with his manager in Toronto with the Blue Jays. I think it's the pressure of having to win in professional sports. I think that you're right. But I think that's across the board in all professional sports. That's been raised.
Okay. All right. Well,
am I too loud in there, Gary?
I
feel a little wound up. I don't know why.
The listeners want to weigh in that.
Big game. I'm wound up here, Gary. I'm ready. Let's roll this week.
We got the Lions, so we'll talk about
that. That's why we have to talk
the
about the Bears from Monday through late Friday.
Well, there's a lot to talk about with this
boring
game.
What, the Lions or the Bears? Oh, okay.
The Lions?
The Lions and Tigers and Bears.
We got
Lions,
Bears, Jaguars, and Dolphins coming up. It really is hunting season.
Yeah, are you allowed to kill dolphins?
No, but we can do it.
Probably not allowed to kill jaguars either. Bears you can kill.
In the NFL, you're allowed.
Ooh, lions, you're probably not. So only one of those you're really allowed to kill.
In the NFL, you're allowed to kill them. So,
good news, Dolphins game is a 1 o'clock game, not a night game.
No, none of the Patriots games will be moved from here on in, so that's good news.
That's tremendous for the boys at PFW.
Yes, it is. So,
how about Asante Samuel? You didn't even mention him. Well, the guy ties a franchise record, and you don't even give him any love.
I was going to get to him because a lot of
did he make the cover?
Yes, he did. A lot of our
but not by himself.
a lot of
Artrell
our emailers
Hawkins stole some of the billing.
I can tell, and we, you know, it's pretty predictable that a certain group of fan of our fans will be now saying, "Pay Asante whatever he wants now," which
is dumb.
Yes,
no offense to our fans.
Yeah.
I think the smart thing to do is what they're going to do.
He definitely has increased his value this year.
I think he's increased
his
chances of not being here.
Six interceptions now?
Yeah, he's going to get paid. Unless he just flat out wants to come back, which I don't think is the case, I think he's going to have a lot of money. He's a Florida guy, maybe Miami or Tampa, one of those teams throws something at him, and it's even more enticing.
I'm
going to
make a prediction that he will be a Patriot next year.
My prediction is Fred Kirsch is wrong again.
Why? There's no such thing as a franchise tag?
You think they're going to franchise him?
Maybe.
What's the franchise number?
I don't know. But
franchise number is probably like $8 million.
I'm predicting by hook or by crook, he will be a Patriot next year.
I don't think they have a hook, but they are.
Oh, and Mike Felger got thrown off the Bruins beat for making insinuations.
No, don't
like
you know
that.
The rule? What we say in this room stays in this room.
Not anymore. All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. And Paul said he might come by because on a Tuesday he can't help, but
right.
He has to get down here.
He needs to inject his voice.
He needs to be heard.
Of course,
on
if
a
Tom
Tuesday.
Didn't have a doctor's appointment, he'd probably be down here injecting his voice too.
Tom might be back before the show's over.
Hey, there's Michael Irvin. Think he has anything interesting to say today?
Then we have to go film our show for New England Cable News. That's always exciting.
It is. It's a great show, great take. 11 p.m. Tuesday night, New England Cable News. That's tonight.
Yep.
If you miss it, if you watch the news, watch it in the re-airing at 11:30.
Yeah.
It's exciting stuff. Fred Kirsch talks a lot, and the rest of us just try to find our way into the show.
Oh, brother. I talk because there's dead air.
No,
you throw something out, you guys just look at each other. So the professional that I am, I have to fill in the dead air.
Gary, have you ever seen our show?
Many times.
Whoa, now you're a little hot.
Many times.
Just a side note I thought of, and I don't know why I just thought of this, but there are rumors that there's a Jessica Simpson tape out there now. I'd be purchasing that one if that's true.
What do you mean, a tape?
You know what I mean by a tape.
A nudie tape? No,
yeah,
she would never. She's an all-American girl. She would never do that.
I'd be buying it.
Is she really going out with Tony Romo?
That's supposedly, yeah.
Wow. Imagine that. Just being
imagine things coming together that well in a three-week span.
I mean, you're an NFL quarterback. All you have to do is throw out a name and you get a date. I mean, that's the way it should be.
Well, she's from Texas, and he's the Cowboys quarterback.
He's the Cowboys
quarterback. He's young and kind of the story, the flavor of the month, and you know how those things work. But for him, I mean, you go from being a backup quarterback to everybody saying Pro Bowler, you're breaking records on Thanksgiving, and now you got Jessica Simpson. I mean, boy, did life turn around in a hurry for Tony Romo.
Life is good right now.
And the other side, Drew Bledsoe is now the backup. He goes home to few screaming kids and the wife he's had for 30
come
years.
Here, you can do this damn radio show.
Think he's a little jealous of Romo right now?
Poor Drew. All right.
Well, I was really good in junior high, too.
I think that's where you peaked, Drew.
All right, so we have a lot to talk about. Emails are coming in already. We had a lot of pre-mails, so we'll get to those first here at webradio@patriots.com. Obviously,
Junior Seau gone.
Yeah,
tough break.
I go over the photos after the game, and I had a photo of him.
Oh, you have a good one?
Oh, my God. It's gross.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you didn't get up.
It's broken.
Paul and Tom looked at it.
Don't ask me to look at these
things? It was like rubber. His arm was like...
Yeah,
it was like... Oh, my God. It was like a Gumby doll.
It was disgusting.
It's like there was no...
Which is why I laughed when I was reading yesterday's Globe, and down the center column of their NFL recap page, they do key injuries of the week, and it said New England, Seau, sore arm.
Sore arm, yeah. No, he's out for the season. He's been put on IR.
I'm assuming it'll end his career.
Yeah.
This was sort of a last-ditch effort here
but,
to
win. But,
hopefully,
and I guess this will happen, is, Belichick will figure out a role for him off the field, and if the Patriots do go deep into the playoffs, he'll be around to, be part of that in some way.
I'm sure he will if they go deep in the playoffs, but it's the on-the-field issue you have to worry about.
No, I know.
Your depth is now being challenged.
With Seau out, that moves
Vrabel
back into the inside. Tully Bannacane starting on the outside. I'm thinking that they might play more 4-3 than ever now.
They could. I mean, we know that they want to be a 3-4 team, but they've been rotating in recent weeks with all the D-linemen anyway. You go 5 deep there with guys who can play.
Right.
So it might be a possibility that they go 4-3 because I, you know my feelings on Tully Bannacane. I don't think he's ever shown anything to say, yeah, I feel confident with him as an every down defensive player. That said, I don't think he's ever had an egregious mistake on the field where you say he just can't be out there.
Right.
So maybe you give him a week or 2 weeks and say, you know, you have some games here, the Lions.
Right.
You can sort of try it out, see what he can do. But your depth is, there's no one else.
There's
have Corey Mays and Eric guys
Don
who've
Davis.
Never done it.
Yeah.
We saw, I love Don Davis, but you saw what happens. He was in for one play when Teddy Bruschi was banged up, and the Bears ran right at him for a 17-yard gain. That is what Don Davis is. Same thing with Larry Izzo. Great special teamer, but, and I know he's made plays, as Michael Felger brought up yesterday, usually in the last 3 minutes to protect a blowout shutout
right,
or something
right.
against scrub time. So, you don't have anything there. So if one of those guys can't do it, or God forbid gets banged up, you're going to be scrambling. I wouldn't be surprised if they go out and sign somebody, but I also don't think you bring somebody in now who can, you know, fill a big role, contribute.
Maybe they'll bring back Pierre Woods.
Maybe they'll bring back Pierre Woods is on the team, isn't he?
Oh, is he?
I believe so.
I thought
Roman Pfeiffer, is he still available?
Oh,
is his locker still in there?
There's no
in the
way
room?
That he would be ready to play football.
Some other, what was it, Sharper, Jamie Sharper, I think, is still out there.
Well, maybe Pepper Johnson will suit him up.
He's still got the fire, according to his fights with Seau.
Fighting with Junior Seau in the parking lot? Jeez.
Oh, yeah, another thing I'd like to throw out there as potential topic of discussion that I guess has been sort of out there for a week now, but we haven't really talked about it, is a report on FoxSports.com. John Czarnecki, talking about the fact that the reason Adam Vinatieri is not a Dallas Cowboy, and subsequently the reason they signed Vanderjack and then this week cut him,
right,
is that Parcells and Belichick Pioli had a handshake agreement that they would not pursue Adam Vinatieri and make him an offer unless he was out there getting offers from other teams on the open market.
That's interesting. You guys were talking about this, and I could see that happening, but there must be more to it, because I can't believe that unilaterally the Cowboys would make that agreement without the Patriots doing something in return.
But it might not be something specific. It might be a you owe me one.
Well, then what was the thing that they owed him from? I just want
to know. No. It could be the Patriots owe them.
Oh, now they owe
them
something.
Yeah, you know, we'll help you out with something, whatever you need, you know.
Well, I don't know. It's
I know this guy has pretty good has been on target at times, so I don't think it's one of those reports you just say, there's no chance. And for a guy to throw that out there, that's a pretty damning statement about somebody. You better have a decent source on that.
Yeah.
And my understanding is he does have a good source who's also pretty well tied in here and in Dallas. So there might be some truth to it.
Well, yeah. I mean, there was that, you know, traveling down to Dallas. Scott Pioli was during training camp, went down there, and then they had a scout from Dallas come up here. So there was definitely something going on between the two teams in the offseason.
It's interesting. It's very and bottom line is, sounds like Adam Vinatieri got screwed.
Well, I mean, would any of other team give him more than the Colts actually gave him? I don't know.
It sounds like the Cowboys might have been willing.
Well, he got a pretty good deal over at the Colts.
He did.
Yeah.
But maybe he could have gotten a better deal in Dallas.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, maybe.
And maybe he would have rather played for Parcells, a guy
he
knew.
It also could be Dallas front office covering its butt and saying, why'd you end up with that Vanderjack guy instead of Vinatieri?
That's a possibility as well.
You know, so
that's a bet. When you sign a kicker and give him $2.5 million and have to cut him halfway through the season, that's a bad move.
So that could be a little bit covering their own butts.
No question. That's
for a personnel decision.
But that's why I love all these little reports and
good,
rumblings
it's good
and
stuff.
Stories.
It's good stuff.
He's also the other guy, by the way, who reported on the Mangini-Belichick thing, the fact that the anger is solely based or mostly based on the Deion Branch situation and the fact that the Jets got involved with that.
That makes sense.
And Bill blames that for the reason he's gone.
And you know, the other thing, you know, when I brought this up a long time ago when we were talking about this, you know, the whole story that got out about Mangini not having access back to the stadium, you know, when he came back. And, you know, I'm sure that kind of peeved off Bill a little bit, too.
Could be.
You know?
Could be.
How'd that story get out there?
I never know how all these stories get out there because they rarely get out to me.
you know, so there's always more to it, I found, in these NFL stories than what we end up finding out in the press. So,
bottom line is, the Bears are who we thought they were.
They're a darn good...
Do we have that one, Gary?
I mean, you know, like I said, I was looking at the photos after the game, and I always know on defense who had a good game, because his number always shows up in all the pictures. And 54
was everywhere. I was going to say 54
everywhere.
And 55 you probably saw
oh
a lot of.
Oh, my God.
Lance Briggs doesn't get the pub that Urlacher does, but he's a pretty good player.
And, you know, I wish some of these guys that think that they're heat-seeking missiles would just sit down and watch film of Urlacher tackling. Because this guy wraps up like nobody's business.
Just not the footage of Tom Brady running by.
Right.
That'll be one play you'll leave off that highlight.
But
reel.
When he gets his mitts around you, he wraps you up. He's not really interested in the glamour hit, although it happens.
He brings those,
too. It brings it. But he does it because he's a sound tackler, and he just nails you. I mean, when you were taught to tackle back your earliest days, you're taught to you drive through the guy 5 yards beyond him. So you're actually hitting through him.
Roll the hips.
Right.
You know what rolling
Glory
the hips
days.
Is called?
Glory days.
My coach used to say that. What did he say? Pretend you broke up with your girlfriend. You're having one last hate bleep, the F word. He goes, that's how you roll your hips. You just drive it through.
Right. And so you're actually tackling beyond the guy. And that's the way
you
suck
that
does
bone
it.
Dry.
So many of these guys, they just think if they hit a guy with their shoulder, guy's going to go down. And there's no arms involved or anything. And guys just bounce off. But when Urlacher, he wraps you up, it's like a bear hug.
Yeah.
I mean, he really.
See what
is.
You did there? He's a bear. I get it. Yeah.
Good. I mean. I like watching the guy. He's not overrated.
No.
Oh, my God, that is funny.
So, okay.
And how about that Urlacher Brady play?
I thought it was, I think people are making too much of it, but it was a great thing. I think Urlacher did actually probably think, I'm Brian Urlacher. There's no way this guy's going to try to run by me. He's going to slide.
See, I don't think he thought that as much. I do think he thought he was going to slide. He said that.
Yeah.
But I think part of it is, what we're seeing a little bit of a trend of is with all the rules put in place to protect the offensive players, defensive players at times are starting to get a little trigger shy. You know, he probably could see himself, oh, if he slides and I hit him, all of a sudden I'm on that highlight reel like the Trent Green hit from earlier in the year. So maybe he got a little flat-footed, was sort of trying to hold up so he'd just tag him down. I think that's a concern.
It could have been.
The league won't care because all they care about is protecting the quarterbacks and the running backs and all that. But I think that's unfortunate if you take away, especially a guy like Urlacher, who is so aggressive and so talented, but also so controlled. If you take away some of that aggressive nature, I think you're sort of cheating your viewers because, you know, as much as Patriots fans would have hated to see it, there are viewers around the country who see that play developing and are just licking their chops to see Brady get decked.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
There
were Colts fans out there who were hoping that would be the number one jacked up play of the week.
Instead, the best quarterback in the NFL made him look silly. So,
made the Colts look silly?
No, made Urlacher look silly.
Who's the best quarterback in the NFL?
Tom Brady. Our Tom.
I don't know. Based on AskPFW emailers, they're not feeling so good. They want to know why they can't see deep balls like Drew Brees throws. They blame him
for
that deep
ball. Well, they saw
one,
but it went off Chad Jackson's
hands.
No, but
they're blaming Brady for a bad throw.
Oh, for crying out loud.
And the tipped ball off Troy Brown. Fans are still not happy with Brady. I don't know what you have to do, but they're not happy.
I guess in every pro city there's a faction of fans that are against the quarterback.
You know? Especially once he's established.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see it in Dallas. Romo is on the upswing. Sure. At some point, he'll level off, and people will start ripping him and start wanting whoever the next guy is.
Yeah. Speaking of quarterbacks, the Denver Broncos have decided that Jay Cutler is going to be their quarterback this week.
And this is a permanent change, I see.
It's a permanent change, but do you think that Plummer got a raw deal?
No, he stinks.
Well, but...
My personal feeling
do you think
is
the way,
he stinks. He
you,
always has stunk.
Do you think the way it was
stink.
Handled was the right way? Forget about your personal feelings.
What was mishandled?
Well, I don't think that. I don't think
he's not
he got
getting
the,
it done.
I don't think he got the coaching support he should have as the starting quarterback this year. I think every game he felt like this. You know.
What do you mean?
I'm skating on.
They were trying to lose.
No, not that they were trying to lose, but like.
Or he came over and said, "Oh, I didn't see something there," and Shanahan goes, "I don't care."
No,
I
heard that Shanahan said he wanted to establish. Their offense as a drop-back pocket-passing offense. Well, that's not who Jake Plummer is. So then get him out right away.
Okay.
You know? Make your move earlier.
Maybe they're giving him a chance to be that guy.
But
as the veteran.
But here it is. So you don't make the move, and your team's, 7-3 going into last week. So the guy's done pretty well, you know? I don't know. I'm not a big Jake Plummer fan either, but I just –
I think Mike Shanahan was came to the realization way. That Jake Plummer is an okay pro quarterback, but if he has aspirations to win a Super Bowl, Jake Plummer's not the guy.
So why is he waiting a week 12?
Because he wanted to give him the chance, I guess.
But that's my point. He didn't really give him the chance.
Oh, he gave him the chance. The guy stinks. Stinks.
All right. Let's get to some emails. Webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com. Karthik writes in. He says, I'm not sure if you guys can echo the fans' opinion to Belichick and company. Can we ask Scott Pioli to call Samuel's agent and pay whatever he asked for? The more I see, the more I think that we cannot play without Samuel.
Let's really pull that back. Do we really want to go out to Asani Samuel and say, here's a $15 million signing bonus and here's a $35 million total contract? Is that really what? Is he that good? Or are you simply reacting to a three-interception game where the opposing quarterback was throwing the ball up for grabs often?
I think there's no doubt that he's the best cornerback on this team.
And that makes you just go out and we'll just give him $35 million.
No, but I think you start there. But then you got
to start at $35 million and keep offering more?
No, you start with that statement that he's the best cornerback that this team has. And then you got to look at the other cornerbacks in the league. And
Tom Casale is the best radio personality this show has, and I think that speaks a lot about the show.
Well, Tom and Paul are here
what are you talking about?
People just want to sign Asani Samuel no matter what.
Well, Fred, I had to come down because I come into work and I hear this guy's goddarn negativity.
What negativity? You weren't listening.
Sign Asante Samuel.
No. That's the only negative. Hey, there's Dumas, Puffer.
Hey, that is Puffer. I didn't see him the first time.
What's he wearing, a smock?
Boy, he looks like a loser no matter where he is.
Guys are watching NFL Network now, and one of the
what are you talking
PR
about? Radio voice
are in the background.
No, I was trying to make the point that Asani Samuel may be your best corner, but that doesn't mean he's worth the money. You're the best radio personality on this show. That means the show sucks.
Good point. It's hard to argue that.
Touche.
Well, that's going to be a situation. The Patriots are going to have
to But they're all done now. They're all done because after having a big game like that in that type of game, everybody's watching.
I made a statement. I'm going to stand by it that in some way, Asante Samuel will be a Patriot in 2007.
They're going to have to pay him a lot of money.
Or franchise him.
Fred thinks they're going to franchise him.
That's a lot of money.
I know.
Fred also said, by hook or by crook, they'll have Asante Samuel. I said, well, they don't have a hook, but they are.
They have been known as a crook.
Oh, brother.
Paul's eating chips and standing 6 feet from the microphone.
Hey, there's your Bowflex on there.
I don't have a Bowflex.
No, you wish you did, though.
I wish I did. I'd like to have something in my basement. Then the pounds would melt away like they've been melting off you.
They are.
I can tell.
Yeah.
And that button shot across the room off your pants nearly took my eye out.
Jesus. Oh, my God. It's funny, though. Like, Andy's been losing weight, but his head is still, it gets bigger.
Because that's bone.
Yeah, he's got to be big or he just doesn't look right.
Yeah.
So you've been getting a lot of the officiating emails?
Well, we just started with the emails, and the first one says that we should call Scott Pioli and pay Samuel anything he wants.
Well, as far as the officiating goes, I hope
we'll get to that.
But I hope somebody wrote an email about James Sanders' pass interference that wasn't called. You know, if you're going to go one way, you got to go both ways.
Well, we haven't got there yet. So.
Well, I'm just telling you. Did you see that call last night? That roughing the passer call?
I didn't watch the second half.
I'm embarrassed to work for the NFL when you see a play like that. Anyone else see that?
No.
Oh, it might be the worst ever. It was a third down. The Seattle was on offense. The guy for the Packers, he brought Hasselbeck down, and his hand started on his shoulder, and as they were going down, it kind of like went on his helmet, and they called blow to the head. I mean, it's so bad that you couldn't even imagine the call.
Wow.
I just don't understand it.
And
okay,
but it was
I'm
again,
ready now.
It benefited Seattle, so the fans weren't going nuts.
Right, it benefited Seattle, but you know, you saw in the Giants game what these freaking calls are doing. I mean, guys are stopping halfway through a play because he thought the ball was released, and he doesn't want to get what Hobson got against Brady.
That's the key right there. What Tom just talked about. These rules that they're putting in, Fred, and I know you always criticize me because I'm always criticizing the rules, and I am. You're right, but. The rules that they're putting in are now affecting the outcomes of games, and that's a perfect example of it. I felt, and far be it from me to defend a Boston College player, but I felt as bad for Kiwanuka as I've ever felt for an opposing player in any sport, because I know exactly what he was thinking, and I know exactly why he let Vince Young go on that play, and it cost his team a chance to win the game. The game is over if he just brings him down to the ground, and he knows If I bring him down to the ground and the ball's not in his hands, there's at least a 50-50 shot that I'm getting a penalty here. And that's what the league has become, because now, more often than not, it is roughing the passer, and that's ridiculous.
Some would say we saw the same thing out here, and
with Brian Urlacher. And
defensive players have been castrated by the league.
Exactly. And I think that Brady made a fantastic play, and he deserves all the credit in the world he got around him.
I think Mike Pereira made the play.
You could see the fear in Urlacher's movements. You could see that he was afraid to do anything, and he was just hoping that Brady just slid in front of him, because he knew, if I tackle this guy the wrong way, this is the face of the NFL.
It was flying through his head.
This is the
he
face
was
of
seeing
the NFL
the Trent Green hit being played over and over again, except it's him with the hit. He was seeing the little FedEx sitting on his chair when he got back to Chicago on Wednesday with the fine. You don't think that was a part of that?
Let me tell you something. Bill Belichick thinks it was a part of it.
Tom Brady could not juke you.
He mentioned it two different times. Well, so that's how strongly
this is a convenient way for guys.
It's nothing convenient
about
it.
This is a convenient way example for guys to use, you know, who are critical, and I'm one of them about the roughing. I don't like it either, but in this case, I think it's convenient to use that as an example. But I don't think really.
You think Matthias Kiwanuka seriously?
No, I'm not talking about
Let go of the player.
I'm not talking about that play.
Well, that's
I'm
two different things. You're talking about roughing the passer. That was
right.
That
I'm
was
talking
the
about
Kiwanuka
the Urlacher play. I want to give Brady a little bit more credit than you guys want to give him.
I'm sorry, I can't.
Well, I'm not taking any credit away from Brady.
Well, if Urlacher didn't want to tackle him, then it would have been easy to
turn
him
out.
If
Urlacher was no hard, he kills him.
I don't see how you can look at that play and not see that Brian Urlacher is not going after Brady. He's standing still. I don't see how you cannot see that.
Did you see that any other time on the football field on Sunday where Brian Urlacher looked flat-footed and
he just stood
indecisive?
There
because the guy is a
missile.
Maybe
he was in shock that Brady was running.
No, he wasn't.
Okay. Well, First of all, they need to eliminate rules where guys can just fall in the middle of the field and they're not to be touched.
Right.
You need to eliminate that.
I might agree with that.
I'll tell you one thing. I'm watching the Ravens highlights up there. They better hope they don't face Bart Scott because he doesn't care about those rules. You see the shot he put on Roethlisberger?
Hey, yeah. Speaking of last night's game, how often does it snow in Seattle?
Not often.
That's the first thing my wife asked me.
They said it hardly ever snows.
It does a lot, yeah.
They said it on the broadcast that this is a very rare thing.
But, we also saw that Paul, field turf slippery in the snow.
Yeah, Paul, you said that you felt bad for Kiwanuka.
I did.
Is that before you saw his coach acting like a six-year-old boy, then you felt bad for the coach? I mean, did you see his reaction?
Well, I think the coach running needs to just get put out of his misery.
Running up and falling
on his knees.
I mean, you've got to be kidding me.
Get off your knees.
Oh, my God.
Who was the coach that did that in the other game that we were talking about? Oh, Jim Mora.
The two guys were going to get fired.
Mora.
When Roddy White dropped that short touchdown.
Yeah. Tom, one just follow-up to your little penalty from last night. Most importantly, was it Tom Ashworth who got beat on the play?
If he was in at right tackle, the answer would be yes.
He started at right tackle.
Yes.
My guy Mike Florio says that Michael Irvin wanted to snort the field after the game last night.
I'm sure he did.
Did you guys talk about that at all?
What?
Michael Irvin?
No,
situation?
We haven't talked about that.
Another embarrassment for ESPN.
Did I miss something?
Oh, you didn't hear what he said last week?
I don't know
about Tony Romo way, way, way back, his great-great-great-great-great-grandmother, some brother, she must have snuck in the hood or something, or she went out to the barn and got her a stud.
Mated with a slave.
He has to have some black ancestry in order to play quarterback so athletically.
Because he has some black ancestry.
So why does he have a job?
They buried it.
Here's the thing.
I remember Rush Limbaugh saying something like that, and then he was fired the next day.
See, I think he shouldn't have a job, but not because he said something stupid, just because he stinks.
He's not good. Well, no, I'm saying if you're going to have a precedent set, I mean, they fire other people when they do stuff like that. So I'm just saying if it was a white guy who said that, he's out.
Plus, he's got that ridiculous tie.
So
he tie that? I find him entertaining, but he should be fired based on those comments.
You know, the more and more I thought, by the way, of the game on Sunday, Fred, the more entertaining I thought it was.
It was a great game.
It was a really, really good game to watch. I mean, it wasn't the best. I mean, it wasn't one of those that you want to put in a time capsule and say, this is how you play American football with 9 turnovers. But there were some great individual plays to cause a lot of those turnovers. I mean, Asante Samuel made some great plays. And obviously the hit on Watson, you know, for the first one on the Patriots. I mean, that's a great hit, a great play.
How about the quirky plays, too? Just there was like 20 plays that were like game-changing plays on different levels, not just turnovers, but a false start on a field goal, and then the next one, a block, a timeout, a blocked punt that gives you field position, reviewed calls on the sideline, consecutive just tons of plays.
Yeah, it was a very odd game, but a very entertaining
game. A fight, apparently, and I missed while I was going to the bathroom.
The Bears deserve what they got on that field goal, too, because as Paul and I were saying when it happened, what does it mean to freeze the kicker?
Right.
What does that mean? I mean,
And that was before he made the second one.
Yeah, maybe at the end of the game, if you're trying to decide a way to block it, and you're working on something, but what does that do?
I heard something
time
funny
out before he kicks.
I heard something funny though yesterday, and Fred, you'll like this too. The local TV, the local radio station, which by the way will never be considered in any way, shape, or form anti-Patriot.
Right.
Actually suggested that. Boy, did Lovie Smith really outfox himself on that play or what? I mean, you'd never see Bill Belichick doing that.
They changed the
rules specifically because of Bill Belichick.
He's known for that.
I mean, they used to let you just call as many timeouts as you wanted, and now they changed the rules so Belichick couldn't call two timeouts to freeze a kicker.
As I watched that game, I guess I wasn't as anxious as I should have been as close as the game was, because the Patriots were never behind in the game.
That's a key.
And that is a key.
For them, especially. They played so much better from, I mean, look at the record.
Yeah.
I put the numbers in out of the notes that the PR staff put together. Is it 62-1 when leading after three quarters?
Is that the same
ridiculous
notes that said the final score was 17-14?
Yeah, it also, well, never mind. There was something else wrong in there, too.
By the way, the icing the kicker with a timeout on field goals is about as valuable to me as signing a punter strictly because he can hold on field goals.
Yeah, I agree.
So, all right. What else? Anything else that you guys are down here?
Just a great game.
I mean, it was.
A very entertaining game. One of the more entertaining regular season games that I can remember.
And unfortunately, it will not be repeated this week.
Yeah, we're going.
Well, we'll get to the Lions later in the week.
We're going from the penthouse to the outhouse.
I was like,
week.
You didn't get the email. It's on the NFL Network tonight. I was taking that literally.
Let's see. Next one is from Chris from Bangkok, and he says it's 7 a.m. This is when he was writing it. I have just finished the Patriots game. This is the best game I've seen in a long time. One sack, one pass block, one field goal, one punt block, two reverse calls, six punts, five interceptions, five fumbles, two on one play, and the Patriots win. What more can you ask? Player of the game is 100% Samuel with nine tackles and three picks. Maroney was very good. You can see that when it is his turn running, the Patriots offense seems to be more effective. The only downside was we need some glue on our players' hands. Brady was very unlucky to have two interceptions. They blemished the stats for the week. It was the most entertaining 17-14 match I've ever seen. Another person with a 17-14 score.
That's what the PR staff put out.
I would say,
please tell me it doesn't say that on Patriots.com somewhere.
I hope not.
I know. We should stop making fun of
right.
them.
I would say this is the best game I've seen the Patriots since they beat the Vikings in OT with the pass to the corner to Kevin Turner by at Foxborough in 95. We went on to run the table and made the playoffs for the first time in the tuna era.
That's the best game? Did 94. You win a couple of Super Bowls?
Yeah, I think there's better games since then.
It was a snow game, I remember, that was pretty good.
Goodness gracious.
That was a cool game, though.
What's he worried about Brady's stats for?
If you're talking about excitement in terms of a regular season game, the snow game was 12-0. It was just an odd game.
I keep bringing up Tuna Bowl 1.
That Colts Patriots game was more exciting than this. Indianapolis was another great game.
The one in Indy and then the one on opening day in 2004.
Both great games.
The one in Indy was like this one, and then it had a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But just to defend Watson, I mean, that was a heck of a hit. You know what I mean? That's not. I know Watson has trouble hanging on to the ball sometimes, but that's not one I'm going to blame on him. That's a good defensive play.
We were saying
helmet
that,
right
you
on
know,
the ball.
We said it when the show ended. Boy, I'm a lot happier saying, boy, the Patriots played bad, but they still managed to win, than what we've been saying. Boy, they played bad, and they only lost by a touchdown.
I don't think they played bad. I think they played good. I think both teams played a lot better than you would think when someone tells you there's nine turnovers in the game.
Exactly.
I thought both teams played
I think
well.
A lot of those turnovers were really genuinely forced turnovers.
And that's good play.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't just like if there was five fumbled snaps like the Rex Grossman one,
that's a bad
snap. No. Vince Wilfork, he was an animal, so the guy was worried.
Or blatant bad interceptions.
But the play by Lance Briggs was phenomenal when he stripped Maroney. There's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah.
Which, by the way,
I mean, Bruschi does it. We think it's a great play, so we might as well give them credit.
Good for you, Freddie.
Why did Maroney have such a great game?
He didn't.
Oh, okay.
I think catching the ball he did all right.
He made a couple of
I think he
plays.
Had an okay game, but this guy said he had a great game, and he's nominated for Rookie of the Week, which
he was nominated.
Well, good luck with that one like against Joseph chances. Adai.
Well, he was nominated for Rookie of the Week.
That's what Chris Pereira told me. Huh? Pepsi or whatever that is, Rookie of the Week.
Did he have a 30-yard return? What did Maroney
that's
have?
That's his average.
Yeah, I think he might have had 30.
But that's his average. His average is 29.7 or 29.9 or something.
You're not going to be out of die because the Colts are doing what the Patriots should be doing. They're giving their rookie more carries as the season goes on.
Yeah.
Carolina, I know. Whatchamacallit's hurt. What's his name?
Deshaun Foster.
I know Deshaun Foster's hurt, but if Williams didn't get hurt early in the year, he'd be the guy by now, too. The Patriots got to, you know, that's enough.
All right, I agree.
We got Corey Dillon. When you're at the one, give him the ball. And I'll tell you what.
No.
The funny thing was, when they were at the one against the Bears,
they gave
Maroney the ball.
See, I go the other way. You've totally won me over on this. I've been a proponent of split carries, keep them both fresh. But my whole concern was to keep Dillon fresh to run the clock out and be the short yardage guy late in the year. Well, now I'm looking for him to run the clock out, and he fumbles. So I have no use for you. Get off the field. Because anytime you do have a good run, you have to ask off the field for 5 minutes to catch your breath. And then when I ask you to do what I want you to do and hold on to the ball, you fumble.
And
so
by the way,
I don't need you anymore.
That's three fumbles in three weeks, last three games. That's a concern.
Yeah.
No ball
he's
for
guy,
you.
He's a guy who never fumbles, and that's three in three games.
Sean, it's Singapore. We got a lot of Far East emails so far.
We're big with these.
I just got back from a trip to Phuket. The neighboring island of Phi Phi.
Phuket or Phuket?
Phuket. He says, and it's next to Phi Phi.
Isn't it Phuket?
Oh, another good line from Florio in his blog last night.
do you get any commission for bringing out all
I read it in the Phuket. Morning. I don't read it during the game, but he said, his one line was, Brett Favre has something that looks like dirt stuck in his face mask, and it's artificial turf. Maybe it's poo. I just laughed.
Laugh track.
It was funny.
You're unbelievable.
You have a certain degree of man love for that.
Anyway, Phuket is next to Phi Phi. And to watch what a game. I just have a couple of questions for you guys. I know everyone thinks that Maroney should get nearly every single carry. However, looking at the length of the college season versus the NFL season, don't you think that one of the main reasons he's playing so well still is that he's splitting the carries? Also, I noticed that linebacker Dalius Thomas from Baltimore's contract will end this season. What do you guys think about the Patriots going after him? He seems to be the Patriots type of player, playing safety, linebacker, cornerback, and special teams in his career.
No, he hasn't. No, he hasn't.
What was I missed that the last
part? Well, maybe they counted college.
Can you repeat
that? No, he hasn't.
Can you repeat that last part?
He has never played cornerback,
he says
ever.
He's Patriots type of player, he's played safety, linebacker, cornerback, and special teams in his career.
He's never played cornerback.
Well, it depends what the guy's considering corner, because Mike Vrabel covers the slot guy sometimes, and if you want to call him a corner because he's out on the slot guy.
Did you see the size of Adalius Thomas when he was returning the,
yeah,
the fumble?
Mike Vrabel's pretty big, too, and they line him up out there. So if that guy wants to consider that Mike
That's
Vrabel playing corner,
not,
Adalius
corner.
Thomas looked like he ate Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
He
plays special teamer.
He plays defensive end, first of all. He's not even he used to be a linebacker in college. He's never played cornerback in his life. I'll assure you that he hasn't.
Okay. What do you think about his statement about Maroney and the...
Well, yeah, that's fine now because they split carries for
right,
10 weeks.
Right, so now he's fresh.
Now he's fresh. LaDainian Tomlinson and Cadillac Williams and those guys who hit the rookie wall were the primary ball carriers from the preseason to the end of the year. That's why they kind of ran out of gas. Maroney, has he had 20 carries in a game yet once, maybe?
Or has he had one?
I don't know.
I don't think he has.
So there's no wear and tear on his body. Listen. Yeah.
Plus, didn't he carry the ball like 40 times a game in college?
Yeah.
At this point in the year, I'm ready to give him the ball as many as he should be ready for it.
I just, if you want 2 yards, like, you know, Paul said it perfectly during the game. That swing pass to Dillon that got 1 yard, if that's Maroney, that's 6 or 7 yards. There's a difference right there.
And then, well, people say, well, Dillon had a few long runs. Yeah,
one.
But they would have been touchdowns if Maroney had.
And it was one long
run. And it was one, and he asked out for a half hour afterwards.
Well, he had one yesterday, too, didn't he?
That's he had a 26-yard run,
and he ended up with 40.
That was it.
Before. Yeah, he had like a 27-yard run either last week or the week before.
All right,
against
so
the Jets.
I'm just saying.
Let's just rattle off the long runs that he has.
Against the Jets, right.
Okay.
When they were laughing at him.
But yet his average is still...
I'm with you, Paul.
No, but that's
I'm saying that people are saying that.
And I'll also say what you guys were saying and agree with it. I mean, if Maroney gets those same opportunities, it's going to be a lot more than 26 yards.
That's right.
Especially on the new turf.
And I like Dylan.
Mike Carey involved in another incident, by the way.
You know? Like Dylan?
I like Dylan. I like him as a player.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Do I fear him or respect him? I fear him.
Now, the Plaxico Burress one, which they refused to show a replay of because ESPN and the NFL Network don't know how to run a channel, that was a fumble. Jacksonville picked that up and returned it. Because they were saying on ESPN that, well, the same thing happened with Plaxico.
The precedent
was wrong. Yeah, it was a fumble.
Yeah,
it was absolutely
a fumble.
It was called differently, and I think what happened was one of those rare times they actually admitted that it was called incorrectly.
Oh.
This, I mean, by the letter of the law.
Yet another
example of the ridiculousness of the rules. By the letter of the law, that play was called correctly.
Right.
Right.
We all know it was a fumble. Right?
Right.
That's a fumble. It's not. He wasn't trying to make a pass there.
Certainly not a pass forward.
Right. But it is what it is.
I mean, can't you make an argument that any time that a guy's over the line of scrimmage and he gets hit and the ball goes forward, it's an illegal forward pass?
That's
based on that play.
That's what Pereira said. If he had flipped it backwards, it would have been a fumble.
Well, you know what happened last night.
So can't you make an argument? Let's just say a guy hits him and then, you know, he's running like this and he gets his legs, but like he goes up like this and the ball goes forward.
Well, his arm didn't move
forward. It's never a fumble because last night
Deion
Branch did the same thing and threw it backwards. And they didn't call it a fumble. He caught the ball. He slid. I think it was right before the half where they were trying to hurry up. And he got up and he threw the ball backwards and they just ran the play. And then they showed the replay. He was never touched.
Mm.
They just don't know what they're doing. I'll tell you what they need to do. They need to get people Andy's age who have played football, who can run, who have eyes. And these guys are too old. The game is too fast for them.
That's a good paying job, right? I can make $100,000 doing that. I'll do it. I'll take it.
I don't think it's $100,000.
No, don't they make like $100,000?
I don't know. I have no idea.
But they got these old judges and college professors.
What?
And
what?
You would not be well suited to be an official.
Why?
First of all, you spend half the game in an argument with somebody.
That happens. Don't argue with me.
I said people like Andy. Like, I didn't say Andy.
Yeah. Well, but he's like all excited about it now. And
I would have fun doing
it. You have, I think, the opposite temperament that you would need to do that job properly.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
I think you're very argumentative.
What do you think?
You're an idiot.
Touchdown? What do you think? What do you think? It's out of bounds? You're right in the middle of the field. I'm going to be out of bounds.
This is what you guys always do. You change my argument and put words in my mouth.
And then it'll end up being, why don't you go get a donut or something like that.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Fred in Montreal says, was last Sunday's game a record for the most turnovers in a game while actually winning it? Need I say that I am not impressed and I don't feel good about any playoff matchup except the Chiefs, Bengals, or Jaguars, and most of those three might not even make it.
See, though, that's what I was talking about earlier, Fred. There's a sentiment here of Patriots fans very unhappy with
you. Yeah, there is.
Right. They just played the best defense in the NFL, Fred. All right. Anyway, he goes on to say that we discussed a while back why Bill Belichick and Bill Parcells are not in the EA Sports Madden games. I found the answer on Wikipedia, dispelling Fred's crazy theory that might be a bit redundant that they want to make their own game. Due to contractual obligation, Bill Parcells cannot appear in the Madden NFL series until his television contract with ESPN actually expires. Also, New England Patriots head coach Bill Belichick is also not in the game because he is not a member of the NFL Coaches Association, which sells the rights to have the coaches' names in the game. Could one of you ask Bill why he is not part of the NFL Coaches Association and not take "it is what it is" for an answer?
Tom, why don't you?
I was going to say, get on it, Paul.
P.S.
Just to let you know, I have to come clean and confess. I went in and wrote all that stuff in Wikipedia.
P.S. to Andy.
Okay, Fred thinks it's a good source.
No, I was just trying to dispute Fred's, you know.
P.S. to Andy. We did not stick around at Billy Ogden's in Buffalo because of the 90-plus minute wait. We found a nice Italian restaurant instead. Thanks for asking.
Oh, good.
Did you ask Fred why he didn't?
Apparently.
He came in and said hello to us while we were there.
This guy replies to an email 3 months later.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, wasn't that a while ago?
Boy, you guys are a tough crowd.
Yeah, but that's why people love us.
Is that what you call it? Love?
Al Fecto writes in.
I'm sure you don't want to call it Pecto.
He says, the win over the Bears gives us a great chance to sweep the NFC North with a win at home next week.
Say.
I was hoping for a 3-1 mark against the NFC.
I'd say book it.
With a win later on at Miami, that would give us
3-1's the worst ever I would do against the NFC North.
With a win later on at Miami, that will give us a 5-1 mark within the division, which will be much more important. In that area, I always thought we would end up with a 5-1 division record. I did not think we would lose at home to the Jets. That's going to be a tough game.
Which game
Cubby's
is that?
Marking that down as
the
a
Dolphins
win.
Game.
The Dolphins played them tough here, and that was back when they weren't even playing well.
I'm not concerned about the turnovers for the most part. Corey Dillon was simply struggling for first down when he got stripped late in the game.
Oh, okay, then. That's right. That's okay.
And Rashay Caldwell was also trying.
He was going to the ground.
Rashay Caldwell was also trying to make a play. Well, aren't you always trying to make a play when you've got the ball in your hand?
We got an email that said that that was questionable. It wasn't questionable at all. It wasn't even close. Second of all, he wasn't struggling for a first down. He was falling to the ground and got ripped out.
Yeah. I am concerned about Ben Watson getting stripped repeatedly down the field. If you recall, he got stripped in the secondary last year against the Jags in the playoffs, and then also a week ago in Green Bay. In each case, he did not lose the fumble, but he and the Pats were not so lucky against the Bears. Like a quarterback, it seems Ben will have to develop a clock in his head where he knows when to cover up and just hang on. Lastly, the interference call against Archel Hawkins just plain stunk. Incredible. I've been watching pro football since 1966 and do not understand pass interference. I'm clueless. You never know what is interference, what's not, but they always call it, what is, but they never call it, etc., etc. It's just a mess. I really believe it's time for the league to seriously consider copying the college rule and just make the call a 15-yard penalty. It's a judgment call. It will never be a subject to review, and it shouldn't be, but there is no way a bad call should create a 40- or 50-yard loss of yardage. At least making every call 15 yards would reduce the harsh effects of the bad call.
He's right.
OTIS, Missouri.
I think it should be a 15-yard penalty, and I've thought that for a long time.
Yeah, how can you make a judgment call spot foul and when it could be 60 yards?
And it's not
it doesn't
only a,
make sense.
It's not only a judgment call in my mind, but it's the single most difficult judgment call that I think that they have to make. You know, they have no help on it because you can't go to replay. I just think there's two guys, and they're running, and you're trying to determine. And the contact is allowed, by the way. So you're trying to determine not whether or not there was any contact, but whether or not it was incidental
illegal.
Or illegal. It's a very difficult
play to
call.
There's a big cry for the same thing. Even Mike Pereira.
Mike Pereira wants
the head of officiating.
And I don't agree with anything that he says.
He would, you know, it's not up to him, but he would like the competition.
Why won't they do it? I don't know.
Answer me the question.
I have no idea.
See, but you think because they don't do it, that means it's right.
On the competition
I'm asking you why won't they, if everyone's screaming for this, why don't they do
everybody
it?
Everybody on the committee is offensive-minded.
They think that people are just going to start doing pass interference all the time. They won't. You know why? Because cornerbacks are competitors. They're NFL football players. When they see the ball in the air, they're going to go up and try to get it. They're not.
I hear that argument all the time. When a guy is beaten, he'll just reach out and grab a guy. Well, how's he going to do that if he's beaten by that much?
Yeah.
And if he's not beaten by that much, he's going to try to make a play on the ball.
And how come that's not instilled in college? How come you don't see cornerbacks tackling receivers on every play
Never
in college?
Never see it. Never see it.
That's a terrible argument. The emailer's right. It's a judgment call. It's the only penalty in football that can be a 60-70-yard penalty. And if it's called badly, it can affect the outcome of the game. It'll take pressure off the officials. Make it a 15-yard penalty.
And the one on
it's not
Hawkins, the one on Hawkins I thought was questionable as well. And I thought because he was looking back and in pretty good position, I thought that they didn't have to call that. But otherwise, I think there's been a lot of.
Would you be willing to settle for
a lot of complaining about calls that I thought were pretty good?
Would you be willing to settle for it's a spot foul up to 25 yards, and then over 25 yards, it's a 25-yard penalty?
I guess
I don't understand why, but I don't understand.
Make a little
it's better than what it is now.
A little bit more meat,
that,
you know.
That would be better than the way it is now.
A little bit more meat to it.
Yeah,
I just don't understand why it needs to be different than 15 yards.
I think like if you take the Denver game where the questionable call on Asante Samuel in the playoffs, you know, that's a pretty big call because you get first and goal at the one. Denver gets first and goal at the one, they score. You know what I mean?
Right.
So if they only get 15 yards there, even though it was
at
a bad call.
At least you're still giving the defense a chance to avoid bad things. You
right.
know, where a 45-yard penalty, the field position at the very minimum has been changed.
Right.
15-yard penalty, you still have a chance to avoid that situation. I mean, roughing the passer in a lot of ways is very much a judgment call, and that's one that I think they get wrong a lot, too. Well, why don't they have a rule that says if a guy throws the pass 50 yards downfield and he gets roughed on it, why don't we make it a 50-yard penalty? Because the roughing the pass would have been a more accurate pass, and they might have been able to catch it. No, it's a 15-yard penalty because it suits the crime.
What's the history of the spot foul? Has it always been pass interference in the pros was a spot foul?
As long as
I'd like to find out.
Sure.
I think it'd be interesting. Maybe
go to Wikipedia.
Why don't you guys do a feature on the pass interference call? Do a little research.
Yeah. Well, and we'll ask Bill. Yeah, I was going to say,
where are we going
to
get quotes?
Don't rely on Bill. You know, no, talk to somebody else. Call Bill Walsh in the hospital.
Yeah, I was
going
to say.
Oh, Fred.
Well, he's not going anywhere.
But
what is wrong with you?
I just don't understand what kind of research you're looking for.
He is a bad, bad man.
When
I was going to say,
because
the question I asked has like one answer.
I was thinking about
June 7th, 1971.
I was thinking about more of a football 101.
Me
he
too.
Wants to write a
call somebody
Tom,
on the competition
right.
committee and see why they've never changed that rule, what the fear is. Get it from the horse's mouths.
Yeah, because they'll shoot straight.
I'd be interested to read
I think
that.
We're doing a show with the other end of the horse.
I would be very interested to hear it from the competition committee, but I just don't think I'm going to get a lot of success trying to talk to Jeff Fisher and Rich McKay and all those other guys that are on those things.
Is Holmgren still on it? Or did he quit? Didn't he sulk about something and quit?
I don't know.
You know, talk to some former coaches. Maybe they tell you that, you know, they would coach their guys in a critical end-of-game situation to you better, safer to tackle the guy than let him catch the ball.
But isn't that true with it being a spot foul?
What do you mean?
If you're beaten at the end of a game in a critical situation, are you better off letting the guy catch the ball and going for a touchdown or tackling the guy?
Tackling the guy.
So why would you not do it now as opposed to if it's a 15-yard penalty, you're going to do it more?
Is it something that has to be taught?
Well,
players won't just tackle players.
At least now there's a hefty fine for doing it. You know, it could happen.
My
then,
point, Fred, huh? is if it's a if
fine.
It's a critical
not fine, you know, penalty
if
for
it's
doing
a critical
it.
End of game situation right now, and your two options are to let the guy go and catch the ball for a touchdown or tackle him and have it be a spot foul. You're going to tackle him and have it be a
spot
foul.
They He's do right. have interfere. I mean, that guys do interfere.
Exactly.
Right.
So I don't understand why you're going to get it to happen any more
but,
often if it's a 15-yard penalty.
But now there would be
right.
no question. Now there would be no question to it. You would just do it without even thinking because it's only 15 yards.
No, you won't.
I just don't
you
understand,
won't do
Fred. I don't understand what you're
they
pointing
at. They don't do
it in
college.
That's what they think, Paul. That's why they won't change this
How
rule.
Do you know that?
Well, find out for them.
They don't
well,
do. They don't
I
do
mean,
it in college.
That's the only reason. Why else would they not?
But what
change
I'm saying
it?
Is, why would you do it and give up a touchdown? And why would the fact that it's going to be a spot foul dissuade you from saving your team a chance to win the game?
Because the spot
let
foul
him, let
is on the 1 yard line,
as opposed to a touchdown.
As
it's an automatic touchdown
on the 1 yard line, as opposed to only 15-yard penalty.
But a touchdown is.
But
still
a touchdown,
the
you lose.
Right.
You don't even have a chance to stop him from the 1 yard.
And the main
line.
Reason is because the cornerback is competitive. He thinks he's not thinking about that. He's thinking,
right,
I'm close enough to close this. Otherwise, he's too far away to tackle him. So it's a moot point.
And the other thing, who's the one that mentioned offense? Was it you, Andy?
Oh yeah, all the offensive. Things.
Yeah, that's the thing too.
That
the
makes,
NFL
that makes
likes,
more sense to
likes
me than
off
anything,
like
yeah.
scoring.
Right.
But here's the problem: every defense in the NFL sucks. You think the Bears defense is good? It sucks. Seriously, you can do whatever you want against the Bears.
I think all the right. Bears defense.
Well, it's
is pretty
it's,
good.
Yeah, for now. I mean, for today's NFL.
For now.
But I'm just saying, there's not many good defenses in the NFL anyway. So you're gonna score points. I mean, look at the best teams in the league.
If we were doing this show in '85, Tom would have said the offenses suck now.
Right.
The Bears defense is nitty gritty. The offense
to the Colts and of,
so
of,
that's yeah. that defense is great. That
the Bears
defense is great.
I didn't say
hey,
anything about great. I just
Andy,
said I thought
how
it was
many
pretty
times
good defense.
Did they touch Brady?
Well, the stats said 3, but I find it fraudulent.
Oh! Quick update, by the way. Can I give him my little side note about Tommy Harris? In the comment from a Chicago writer, he said the running joke in Chicago over the last month plus has been, and it continued Sunday night in Foxborough, have you seen Tommy Harris? Yeah, on the side of a milk carton.
Oh, really?
Wow.
So apparently they're big on,
well, you
big
see,
time down on Tommy Harris.
You know,
there,
the thing that the two times I saw him, and they happened to be two of the biggest plays, and that's why I thought he didn't have as bad a game as you said, was the pass to Watson, he actually collapsed the pocket and made Brady move. And then on his scramble, he was the one that made him scramble. So apparently I saw the only two times he was in the backfield all day.
Well, the other part of that, too, and Andy and I talked about this a little bit this morning, the Bears aren't a big pass rush team. They're 15th in the league in sacks
right.
per play. That's right in the middle of the pack. They have 25 sacks going in. What they are superior at is not allowing points. They're number one in the league in that, and they only allowed 17 against the Patriots. I think they're a pretty good defense.
No,
are they great? Are they one of those defenses that I think is capable of winning a Super Bowl by itself the way Baltimore?
Right.
Probably
no.
not. No. But I also think that teams fell all over themselves that year that Baltimore won. I wrote a big commentary and got killed for it at the time that I thought it was one of the worst Super Bowl winning teams that I'll ever see, and I have seen nothing in the 5 years that or 6 years or whatever that have gone by since to change my opinion on that. I think the Baltimore Ravens stunk. And they had no business winning a Super Bowl. They had a great defense, and that was it.
They had a great defense.
They had a pretty good defense.
They had a pretty good defense.
The problem I have with
He's like Fred with Hall of Famers. Nope, sorry.
The problem I have with the Bears
I know
is
it
this.
When I see it.
I hate teams that have a certain system and don't change at all. Like, they don't blitz.
But when that Bears, when it's that good, you don't need to.
I'm not going to discuss it. Now you're arguing against Belichick. You're making an argument against Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick never had an argument against Bill Belichick.
He didn't have a defense that good? Is that what you're telling me? Don't say that. Do not say that.
If you don't have the personnel, the blue chip personnel, like the Steel Curtain or the Ravens defense of a few years ago or the Bears defense of 85 or even the Giants defense in the early 90s, you can't afford to just do one thing. You have to be a game plan team.
And that's Belichick, what I'm saying.
Belichick on the Patriots never had that type of personnel. And in today's salary cap,
I don't
make
know
an
what
argument
you're talking about.
That it's very hard to have that type of personnel.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
The Ravens
about.
Had a great
about?
Defense, but their offense
I'm not
stuck.
Talking about the Patriots or the Ravens. I'm saying the Bears. Now, the Patriots have had trouble with blitzes. Like from, you know, not blitzing all the time. I'm not
you
talking
guys are
about
arguing the same thing.
Yeah, I'm
no,
not.
I don't think they are, and I agree with Tom on this.
I'm not talking
Tom's
about
arguing
Buddy
they're
Ryan.
Not good enough to stick with one thing. And Fred's saying, yeah, if you're not dominant enough, you have to change
I'm just
things
saying,
up.
I'm,
that's right.
I'm just saying if you
Tom
if
is
you
saying
broke
no matter
down,
how dominant you are, you need to do different things.
Right. If you broke down
no,
the Jets
don't.
Tape,
yes, you are
do.
Dominant.
Well, you lost a game because you didn't do anything different the other day.
Well but he's arguing they're not dominant, so they should have changed it up.
Right.
Finally,
you're saying that they're not good enough to do one thing.
Here's my point, Fred. Oh, I don't
think you're saying they're not good enough to do one thing.
I apologize then. I misunderstood you.
I'm saying,
I didn't realize
I'm saying you should have, you should be able to put in different parts for a game. That way, if Steve Smith is catching 30 balls for 290 yards, you can make some kind of adjustment.
Right.
If you come out and you can't get pressure on Brady with your front four and you're not equipped to adjust, then go home. Go home.
And you're not good enough in the secondary to completely shut teams down because they're not.
Right.
Let's face it.
Well, that could be. Maybe they aren't. They're not the 85 Bears.
No, all
those comparisons are ridiculous.
All I'm saying is you think if you watch
but
like
if
the
you
Jets
are the
85 game,
Bears, you don't need to make adjustments because your guys are just better.
Except you gave up more points than the 86
but you
Bears,
have,
right,
you
Tom?
Have those, you have those linebackers, right? Those you're telling me you never want to send those guys on blitzes as fast as they are
well,
ever?
Well, they did. And I saw Kevin Falk cut down Urlacher on a blitz. I mean, it was a great pickup by Kevin Falk.
It was.
He blitzed about three times the whole game.
Yeah. I didn't count, but they did send him.
But they didn't send more than four guys very often in that game.
Yeah,
I just thought they had the personnel to do
that.
You
know, that's what they do. And
that also
I
may not have
Tom
really
on.
Truly been a blitz. Could have been a coverage defense
been
where Urlacher
zone blitz or something.
Or it could have been
yeah.
a coverage where Urlacher has Falk, and if he doesn't come out, then you rush, and that
right.
may have been why Falk picked him up because he wasn't rushing with all his true.
Because he's waiting for him to
right.
start running by him.
Right.
I just totally disagree with Fred. If you have that talent, I think you should use it in different ways instead of just saying, here's what we do, and when we play the Lions, Packers, and Vikings, it works, so we're great.
By the way, on the whole Cover 2 thing, the Tampa 2, Belichick, did you hear Belichick on EEI yesterday? He kind of broke it. They didn't play Tampa 2 very much.
No, they didn't.
And
they had one safety
game.
Deep yeah. a ton of the time.
And we were watching it, and we made the comment
I mean,
during the game. But he's right, and I think he counted, I think, eight snaps.
You don't need to be know
a
ton of football to know that Tampa 2 implies two safeties deep, and they had one guy in the middle of the field pretty often.
We talked about it during the course of the game. We're like, well, he said that they didn't do it, and they haven't done it.
Let's see. Raymond from Turlock, California. I've never watched a Patriots game that was so emotional for me. I mean, it seems like every time we had a big catch, it would get called back because the ball would hit the floor after the receiver came down with it. All correct calls, by the way, plus all of the fumbles, especially the one where Watson fumbled and the ball landed into Caldwell's arm, then he fumbles and the Bears end up getting it. I would like to hear on the overall play of the offense and defense from all your perspectives. Seems like after Seau got injured, our rush defense really was suffering. Was that all from the Seau injury or just missed assignments and people not playing their gaps well enough?
Well, I just want to, you know, Mike Felger in his report card today actually broke it down, so I wanted to throw this out there. The yards, after Seau's injury, 20 carries for Chicago, 112 yards, 5.6 per carry. That happened after Seau went out, so they only had 153 for the game.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a pretty night and day difference there.
Well,
and I got to think that it
what's
you know,
the yards per carry difference?
Well, 5.6. They only had, how many carries did they have, do you know? For the game.
34, 36.
So you're talking
like
14 carries for 20 yards, 25 yards?
That's what it was.
I mean, the 153
the total
yards they ended up with, right? And
yeah,
153. So 12, 22, 32, 42, 35 yards.
after
Sayout? 40 yards before Sayout.
17 of which came with Teddy Bruschi on the sideline and Don Davis on the field.
Oh, that's true. But, yeah, I do think that's something that that has to play a role in it. You get you're weakened at two positions because you're moving Vrabel inside where he's not as comfortable, obviously, and now you're switching Colvin.
Too bad Marquise Hill can't play.
Three positions.
Right, your Colvin's on the other side, and now...
What?
Too bad Marquise Hill can't play. This would be his time.
I just don't think they have any desire to play 4-3.
I don't think they do either, but Marquise Hill wouldn't be first in line. There's a guy by the name of Mike Wright and Jarvis
Green.
Said,
too bad he can't play. This would be, he would be
but he's not next
guy.
In line. That's not what's keeping them from playing 4-3.
It's hard to believe that when they signed him that we would, months later, think that, boy, that injury to Junior Seau was,
I know,
was
that's,
really
that's,
big.
They lost their most consistent linebacker.
I personally don't think it's that big a deal other than depth. I think it's huge, huge for depth.
Right.
Because now you're paper thin, but I don't expect teams to run as successfully as the Bears did in the second half.
No, but you also have to now hope that Tully Bantakane can take on a full-time role.
I'm not saying that you're better off.
I think there's a big concern there.
I'm not saying you're better off with Bantakane and Colvin outside and Vrabel inside. You're not.
I agree with you about
very well.
I agree with you about the middle part. I don't think it's really that big a deal in the middle. Can Tully Bantakane play on the
outside? Vrabel is as good or better, I think, than Junior Seau in the middle at this point. But the question is on the outside where you've switched two guys up, and one, you don't know if he can play.
No, I think the concerns are depth-related more so, but we'll see.
Well, a ton of emails coming in. Want to thank all the listeners for chiming in. We'll try to get to as many as we can. Andy in Sioux City, Iowa. A win was so important, especially after the way the game unfolded. When I saw Junior break his arm on that play, I instantly flashed back to the Theismann leg break where you could see the bone in
so
coming
Jimmy
through
Kimmel.
His sock.
That's funny. Fred thought he was going to be back in 2 weeks.
Fred was wondering why he was going to miss a play.
Junior's injury was hard to watch, knowing the heart the guy plays with and what he has stood for in the NFL. There couldn't be a tougher guy in the NFL. If there is, I don't know who it is. I'm sure he'll be missed by the team, and I couldn't help but notice the run play Chicago sent that direction after he went out. Winning and losing aside, you just hate to see that happen to anyone, especially to a guy like Junior. It was ironic that the post office finally delivered my PFW from the Jets game, which featured the layout of number 55 of Junior Seau yesterday. Seau was truly a bonus this year and had exceeded my expectations. P.S., I hope Tom isn't quite so pissy this week since the Pats finally won a big game.
He's as pissy. He always is and always will be.
Maybe that's why we're not getting burned as much on our stories as we usually, because the delivery has been off. Normal cases, say I would have broken his arm in the Jets game just got when my feature.
I'll tell you what, though. Boy, that next issue, you're going to be happy. They killed the Packers. I don't want to ruin it for you, but it was an easy win.
Call the National Guard. They're killing the Packers.
I turned on the radio. This is Dwayne. I turned on the radio after the game, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing when the guys on 104.1 were saying that the game proved the Pats are contenders. Are you kidding me? The Pats turned it over 5 times against Chicago. 5. Sure, Chicago has a good defense, but most playoff-caliber teams do. And every time the Pats play a playoff-caliber defense, they turn it over 4 or 5 times.
They won.
Let's see.
They won.
They didn't win by 3 touchdowns,
game.
Though, Andy. It's not good enough.
They've never won a Super Bowl by more than 3 points. They won.
And they turn didn't over. Win this game by more than 3 points, according
That's
to some
true.
People.
I just think it was a great game.
What are people looking for? And Michael Felger is leading this charge. He thinks they lose against every other team in the league if they play that way. And that's stupid.
Well, this could be the team, if they got to the Super Bowl, they'd be playing, so they win. Anyway,
yeah, Michael
I don't
goes,
know about
how do you
that.
Win a Super Bowl? And I go, by beating the best team in the NFC. That's what you did on Sunday.
Right.
I don't know about
anyway,
that.
Anyway, he says, turnovers killed him in the playoffs last year, and the same trend is ongoing. The Achilles heel of the Pats isn't the receivers, even though they are average at best. It's this turnover habit. Without turnovers, I think the Pats could beat any team
in
the league.
3 of which were by the receivers, no?
But the fact is, they haven't done it, so why should I believe they can? And about Asante, pay the man. At this point, I don't think you could justify trying to find a better corner on the open market or the draft without risking a severe drop-off. I emphasize risking, not a definite drop-off, just like with Ty Law, where we hoped someone could fill Ty's
void.
Now,
Asante Samuel's Ty Law. Are you freaking kidding
me? Let's not let another guy go, too.
I couldn't disagree with our listeners more this week. I think the win was huge, and I think Asante Samuel is the same guy he was before he had 3 picks on Sunday, the guy I wasn't willing to give $12 or $15 million signing bonus to.
I mean, and it's not like he picked off you know,
it's not like he cut in front of these great players
who has not been playing that well lately.
It doesn't matter to me who he picked off. Yeah. It's one game. I think he's a good player. I don't think he's a great player. Great players make $12, $15 million signing
except
bonuses.
Except in the stupid Bailey, NFL that overpays cornerbacks.
Champ Bailey gets $15 million signing bonuses.
Now it's the NFL's fault?
Not a Asante.
Well, there are some teams that just are not
cheap,
responsible.
Like the Patriots?
No, they're not responsible.
And he said the receivers aren't the weak spot. Rashay Caldwell, name another one.
Yeah, right. And
he plays defense.
You.
Try again.
Well, he was the only other receiver who caught a pass.
And I got to tell you, I think Rashay Caldwell, and I've been as critical of him as probably anybody has. He's really shown.
He showed
a,
up at the crunch time.
He's been a different player the last month, and he is now. I think. Without question.
He's opened your eyes like his eyes.
I was
going to
say, that's what I like about him. When the ball's in the air, his eyes really, you know, they really get big. They're really focused.
Eyes on the prize. I think he's clearly their number one wide receiver. And I think he's played like that. I don't think it's just by default.
Not by default, right.
He's played well.
Right.
It is sort of default. There's no one else.
But he's made
plays.
No,
he's earned it.
He's
made
plays.
Maybe if you had three other receivers that were better, maybe he wouldn't have earned it over them. But he's earned number one receiver status.
He's made plays in recent weeks. That's what I'll say. No one else has. And Chad Jackson stinks.
Steve from Kingston, Ontario.
There he goes with that negativity again, Tom. He's not Mr. Sunshine like you and
darn
me.
Negativity.
I'm negativity. These people think the Patriots stink after beating the Bears.
They just had the best win in how many years, and all you can talk about is Chad Jackson stinks. Mr. Negativity.
Steve from Kingston, Ontario. Good to see the Pats got the win. How about Samuel? This kid's playing great or what? You guys think his performance this week ensured a trip to free agency?
Yes.
Jeremy Green on ESPN First and 15 says that this game ensures Samuel will be a free agent next year because the Pats won't put up the money. Do you agree or disagree?
He's going to free agency.
I mean, Fred's right. They could franchise him, too. That's a possibility. I just think that's a lot of money. Cornerback isn't like some of these other positions where you can kind of grin and bear it. I mean, it's a lot of money to franchise
a corner. I think they know
their
talent as well as anyone, and I'm not sure if they think he's a top-level corner.
Well, I know the other guy they got isn't.
Yeah. Nice to see Seymour getting some stats this week and doing some good work during the game. Any insight on how this guy is feeling? Is he 100% and finally ready to play like an all-pro?
You reach.
And Tom, I don't really want to beat a dead horse, but don't want you to go away with the wrong info. So one last time I'll mention this. I am in law school. The age of consent in Canada is 14, as defined in law in Criminal Code of Canada, Section 150.1, paragraph 1 and 2, not 16 like that other emailer said last week. You can book that like you book a Patriots win against Detroit this Sunday.
But it doesn't really matter.
If I go up and get in trouble, then you can be my lawyer. How's that sound?
No, but it doesn't matter because if you think it's 16 and it's really 14, you're okay. It's when you think it's 14 and it's really 16 that you get in trouble.
Either way, I'm not looking to get it on with a 14-year-old.
What about Seymour? Is he 100%?
I was going to say, what about 16?
He's not willing to get on with Seymour either.
I was actually going on to the next subject.
That's the type of game I'd like to see from him. You know, he's in the backfield. He's tackling ball carriers. He's making some plays.
I got a feeling that Seymour doesn't always play 100% on every play. I think he's the kind of guy that needs a little fire underneath him.
I kind of see that sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to tell. It's hard to say. Is the guy trying as hard as he is?
You don't know when guys
are getting double teamed.
But it just seems like
when he wants to dominate, he dominates.
There is great players who have had that moniker. I know hearing that Richard Dent was one of those guys that played, you know, when he felt like playing, he could dominate anybody. But there was some games where he was kind of and he just showed up.
This week's game, he had everything. He was dominant out there. And we've seen flashes. Remember the famous Jacksonville one where he strutted onto the field when they needed him?
After being benched.
Right. So we have sort of examples. This week they've been questioning him. We sort of have the examples laying it out that maybe he is one of those guys that he can either turn it up an extra notch or doesn't always play
just
at the top.
Right. He cruises. He puts it on cruise control.
Are you quiet over there? Are you afraid he's going to call and yell at you?
I just think that it's unrealistic to think that 53 guys are playing as absolutely hard as they can on every play.
Right.
I think that's one of the most overrated things in sports. Oh, he never takes a playoff, never does that.
Well, there's some guys that do. Zach Thomas.
I think a lot of guys take plays off.
Most white guys.
I think a lot of guys take
Michael plays. Irvin checking in.
Adolph Hirsch.
Why is that okay? We're all bumped up a slot. Tom, congrats. You're an assistant editor now.
Russell Russell is tucked away in the OC. He says, I know there will be a ton of emails in the game Sunday, so I want to bring this up and see if we can put it to rest. Near the end of Wednesday's show, Tom said, quote, let's be honest, it was a fumble, referring to the Oakland playoff game. Well, it was a fumble back before the NFL changed the parameters and the arm moving forward with the ball. Same as when they changed the rules saying the ground can't cause a fumble.
I don't care about the rules. All you they, can stop this email right, if right. you want. I'm yeah, just you telling
can,
you what my
you
eyes
definitely
saw.
Stop it.
It's
I'll put
a fumble.
It, I'll put it right in well, the, I'll, I'm going to put it right in the Vincent Jackson category of a game that happened this week. I understand what the rule is.
Right,
it was
right.
a fumble.
Tom was saying, like, backyard football, two guys playing football,
yeah,
that play happens, they
I,
call it a fumble.
I know what the rule
all
is.
They
when I can stand in front of an official the next year at training camp and say, I know what the rule is, sir, but can you tell me if you thought it was a fumble when he said it absolutely was a fumble? Then I know it was a fumble.
It was a fumble.
All they did was enforce the play according to the rules. Now, Tom, since you are fond of how it used to be in the NFL from 1967 to 2003, which of the pass interference calls against the Patriots yesterday and the Denver playoff game last year would have been called? I bet none. I say we evoke a PFW man law here today that the Tuck ruling should not be allowed to be brought up, and anyone that thinks it should must watch the complete 1976 Oakland Patriots playoff game. Tom, ask Rogan about the non-calls on blatant penalties. Start with Villapiano punching Francis right through the face mask early in the game. Only Ben Dreyfus' sudden ability to travel 25 years ahead in time to see that in 2001, that may have been roughing the passer. Casale is still the man. Guys, great show as ever. Can we evoke the no-tuck rule mentioned PFW man law now? All in favor say aye.
Fumble.
We don't read your emails anymore.
I can't invoke that man law.
I'm sorry, we don't have a quorum.
No, Paul hit it right on the head. Like, the Jacksonville thing is,
San Diego thing is
a perfect example. It was called correctly.
But it was like Hobby there. I had to be Mannix.
They called it right, but it was a fumble.
Right.
We all know.
I'm just
going to
say,
here's the thing about that. And this is what you got to watch out for. If they called it a fumble and they stuck with it as a fumble, we'd all be screaming. But the rule says it is a fumble.
No, I'd say the rule sucks.
Yeah, we'd say the rule is stupid.
Oh, no.
I'd also say the player's stupid.
It would be yet another thing how the Oakland Raiders screwed the Patriots if they didn't go by the rule book.
Fred, they won the game. You don't have to defend it. Okay, they won their Super Bowls. Calm down. It was a fumble. Move on.
Let's see.
I also think those pass interferences, that they've been called the same for whatever. They put an emphasis in on illegal contact,
right,
in defensive holding, which is a totally different penalty. I thought the defensive holding, by the way, on Ellis Hobbs in the end zone was ticky-tack.
I think in the 70s and early 80s, guys
there was
away
different
with
rules
a lot
then.
More.
He said till 2003.
Different guys calling it, and pass interference is a penalty that two guys on the opposite sides of the field see it differently
see
in their own head.
The call on Asante Samuel was a bad call. But it just as well could have been the same bad call 10 years ago or 20
right.
years ago.
Right.
They changed the rules back in the 70s about where you can hit guys. You know, Bill talked about how in the old days, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, you used to be able to cut receivers at the line of scrimmage. You can't do that anymore. Rules have changed, but that didn't change in 2003 like the emailer suggested.
Let's see. Matt Higgins says, watching Ken Walter made me recall recently why they got rid of him a couple of years ago. The first punt was so slow getting off that the punt blocker whiffed on the ball because his hand actually passed the ball before it came off Walter's foot. Walter actually got hit after one of those punts, and he didn't go down. He should have. I have a picture of the guy whacking him across the stomach after the ball was gone.
I know one of them was close. I remember seeing the guy
fly by it.
Yeah,
I have physical evidence.
I wonder
that
if
he
they got a
hit.
I wonder,
and he should have went down.
In Ken Walter's defense here, I wonder if they got a piece of one because they only traveled about 20 yards. I mean, I wonder if they got a piece of them.
No, he just stinks.
I don't.
In which case, by the way, it would be all right if they hit him.
Ken
if you make
Cringe
contact,
Walter. I
if
like
you make
it.
Contact with the ball, you can
right.
hit the punter.
I don't think I've ever seen that before. The second one was about a 37-yarder that had a hang time of approximately half a second. He must have been the greatest holder in NFL history.
It's a shame good that point. Bogger can't hold.
Two, did anyone else notice it in about the third quarter when Cedric Benson broke to the outside? The guy in pursuit and who ended up making the tackle was Vince Wilfork at the sideline.
Yes. Untrue. Mm-hmm.
No, he made a play like that.
It was not on Cedric Benson. It
well,
was
he made
on
a play
big,
like
fat
that.
Tight end Gilmore.
Yeah, it was on Gilmore. Either Benson is the slowest running back since Marion Butts, or Vince Wilfork is a hell of an athlete.
See, that's my point being is he didn't track
John
down
Gilmore.
A highly skilled running back.
But he's still a hell of an athlete.
Oh, Wilfork is incredibly
360 pounds,
incredibly mobile for 340 pounds.
Finally, as an aside, it looks like the Colts will sign Ricky Prohl today. Just when I was getting worried about the Pats' chances against the Colts in the playoffs, my mind has been put at ease. It'll be even better if he catches a TD pass in the final minute. Some things are just meant to be.
So
So the fact that Ricky Prohl, who has about
50 catches against
98% of his career production against the Patriots, the fact that the Colts now have him makes you feel better about your chances against the Colts.
Well, he is 38.
An interesting way of looking at it.
Hey, so
what
Paul.
About the Cowboys? Huh? Signing your boy Grammatica.
Hamburger. Yeah.
Well, they had to do something.
Tom, what was his numbers, Vanderjagt's numbers?
13 out of 18.
Oh, he made them. They said that wrong.
They screwed it up on ESPN.
Oh, you did see it. They said he missed 13 out of 18, so I didn't hear it wrong.
He was 13 of 18.
That was wrong.
Because I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe it took him this long to get rid of
him. After they said it, I actually looked it up because I said that's not even possible.
But you know what killed it for him? Is his attitude. His freaking attitude.
Well, and he and I don't want to go off on tangents here, but he is a loser. We know that.
We like tangents. That's what we do.
Did anybody see Eli Manning saying he played well until that final pass? Is that what you think, buddy?
Well,
you thought you played well?
The Giants are in trouble. They had a players-only meeting, apparently, yesterday.
And he didn't speak.
Well, he didn't speak, but the thing is that there's a faction of the Giants who just hate Tom Coughlin.
They hate him.
And they feel like they're being treated unfairly, that Eli's being treated unfairly, that Jeremy Shockey's being treated unfairly.
Now, why do you think Eli's being treated unfairly? Because Coughlin told Tiki Barber, don't say anything to the media about the coaching staff, and then he says, well, the quarterback shouldn't be throwing interceptions like that at the end of the game to the media. The guy's a hypocrite. He's a hypocrite. But
see, that's where, and I'll give you your side, Fred. That's where Belichick, I think, is perfect in handling those kinds of things, because he doesn't throw anybody under the bus, and he's very consistent about that. You never hear him say, after a win, the team played great. After a loss, we all need to do better.
Right,
including the coaches. And it's tired. It's, you know, we know it's not exactly what's on
and
his
mind. You
know
mind who he learned
sure,
it from.
But he says it every single time.
Bill
Paul
Parcells?
Brown? I don't know.
No,
is that what
Paul
Brown said?
Paul Brown's thing is, when it's good,
from Parcells.
When it's good, we did it. When it's really good, they did it. When it's bad, I did it.
Tom, I didn't bring this up while you were here. The reason that Vinatieri's not in Dallas, did you see that thing that came
out? No, I saw they were going to have something. I didn't see it, though.
John Sars... What is it, Paul?
Zarnecki.
Zarnecki on FoxSports.com reports that Bill Parcells and Pioli Belichick had a handshake agreement. The Cowboys would not pursue Adam Vinatieri or make him a contract offer unless other teams started having offers out there for him. So they didn't go after him. And then by the time he was in Indy wouldn't let him leave. They sort of made him sign the deal.
What hell kind of business is that?
Well, that's what my question was. That's what my question was. There had to be something more to that.
If that story is true, Bill Parcells should be fired today. Today he should be fired. Making handshake deals that we're not going to go
what
after people.
What about Bill Belichick?
Tom's a Cowboys fan. All he cares about is Cowboys.
You see the passion come out all of a sudden
for the Patriots.
No, Parcells can't fire me.
The Patriots can get another team that needs a kicker to agree not to take your
money.
It's actually pretty smart.
You're breaking rules. You shouldn't do that.
No, I understand that, but if the Patriots are actually kind of smart to do it. The Cowboys are the stupid ones saying, oh, sure, yeah, we won't touch them.
That's why I say there's got to be more to it.
This is why. Why? Why do you say that?
I can't believe one team would take themselves out of the running for a position that they need desperately.
I think Bill Parcells
is
an a-hole.
I think just because they liked each other.
I think it's very logical when you do that, and I think Jerry Angelo is a perfect example.
Paul would be the nicest owner in the world with an 0-16.
I'm not saying
everyone would love him, but his team wouldn't win.
I don't think everyone would love him.
Why don't you stop? Why don't you stop for a second? I didn't say that I would do this.
He's pissed.
I didn't say that I would do this. I just I'm appalled that you think that the Patriots don't do anything wrong. This is why I get upset when the Patriots file tampering charges every time someone looks at them wrong, but yet they're involved in a behind-the-scenes wink-wink handshake.
If Jerry Angelo handed
Ted Washington in a Super Bowl to the Patriots for nothing. Why? Because he's friends with Belichick. But you had nothing. You saw nothing wrong with that.
Right. But and if the Cowboys did unilaterally, it's bad business on the Cowboys' part.
I think it's bad business on the Patriots' part.
Well.
Because I think it's cheap. And it happens. It doesn't bother me because it happens to everybody, everywhere. Well, tampering is a fact of life in pro sports.
So would you do it if you were in pro sports?
No, I would not do it. But that doesn't mean that I'm a good guy. I don't understand why, because I follow the rules, makes someone good and a loser. I don't understand.
Well, you're
that.
Saying they're bad because they do it.
I think that's
you're
wrong.
Appalled.
I'm appalled that you think the Patriots did nothing wrong.
I never said that. I said that I can't believe the Cowboys would just do that.
How's that for putting words in your mouth? You said you were appalled at you, not anybody else.
No, you're appalled. You're always appalled.
But hey, in the end, the Cowboys won because they got the Patriots kicker, Martin Gramatica.
Dave.
Actually, Mike Vanderjack won because he got $2.5 million to play a half a year.
Now he can go drink. Dave in Storrs, Connecticut. Was anyone else about to scream at Belichick for not benching Watson in the Bears game? I mean, he made some excellent, crucial plays in the game, but he also showed his ineptitude in securing the ball. I noticed in previous weeks he's dropped and fumbled, but he got away with most of those. He almost made the Pats pay dearly for his lack of ball security.
So
your
now,
thoughts?
Now we're benching players for physical
the
mistakes.
Guy who made the play of the game. Well, one of the plays.
Doug Gabriel got benched.
That wasn't just because of the fumble. There's
he's
no way
ben
that was
Watson.
Because
and
I don't
not
know.
Ben Watson.
You
and
know?
He's also not Ben Watson.
Not
he
ben
can't
Watson.
Make plays. Every time Paul goes, Gabriel's gone. He goes two more steps and gets tackled.
I also didn't ever once even cross my mind to say they got to get Watson out of this game. Because I think that the play that he fumbled on, the first one in the
he
first quarter, every player that's ever played in the NFL, ever, fumbles on that play.
Yeah.
When you're in the air coming down with the ball and the helmet comes right on the ball, it's impossible not to fumble on that play.
And remember the guy
security get injured.
Ball security had nothing to do with that fumble.
You know the guy that we lamented the loss of all offseason, David Givens? No one fumbled more at the end of plays and got lucky by replay and than David Givens.
Ball would go out of bounds.
Right. You know, he was the luckiest SOB in those situations, and we just were Patriots screwed that up because they didn't get David Givens back.
You know, that reminds me, and no one's really talking about it, the amazing catch that Graham had.
Oh, that was
that's
phenomenal.
A beautiful catch.
Phenomenal catch.
Great catch.
I'm going with that's how you have to do it for him. You make it too easy, he drops him. You got to make him work for
I thought that was a great catch, and I thought Watson's 40-yarder on the game-winning drive was a great catch.
Let me ask you something. Did they just beat the Bears?
And apparently not.
Miserable.
That's okay. It makes for good radio.
Yeah, but you and the rest of the fans think the Bears stink.
No, I thought the Bears were slightly overrated, and I still do. And everything we said, our fears about the Bears, it happened. Rex Grossman not being able to handle.
The Bears aren't that good because of their offense.
Right.
But they have a good
defense.
Listen,
I'm not saying they don't have a good defense. I don't think it's the league's best. I think Baltimore and San Diego, when San Diego has everybody there, can rival them.
Maybe. It might turn out that way.
I'll take
that.
It might turn out that way. I'll take that because they're playing against AFC teams, and I think part of the Bears' dominance is the fact that they beat up on NFC teams.
Yeah.
But I was very impressed with Chicago in general.
Yeah,
I thought their quarterback was erratic, and yet they were still – you know, we all looked at it and said, we turned the ball over five times. We have Tom Brady, so it's we can turn the ball over five times and still find a way to be in the game. But they have Rex Grossman, and they found a way to turn the ball over four times, all in the red zone, by the way. We made a lot of big deal about all the Patriots' turnovers
in the
red zone. The
Bears' turnovers were worse.
Three of them were in the red zone. One of them was completely unforced on a fumbled snap. And they also missed a field goal. Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, Vince Wilfork was snorting.
No,
was
I know. I read that, and I was kind of embarrassed to have read that comment as well. But
who wrote that?
I think the Chicago, I think, kind of impressed me with their toughness. I didn't think I thought if you had told me coming into that game they're going to come into Foxborough and turn the ball over four times, miss a field goal, have a punt blocked, there's no way they're going to be even on the same planet as the Patriots.
Yeah, I
would have thought the Patriots would have won the game by three touchdowns, and it would have never been in question. Yet it was in question for a full 60 minutes.
But then you throw in five turnovers to the Patriots.
Because they showed the toughness to keep playing.
Right.
I will agree that the Bears are definitely – I wasn't sure if they were at the top of the NFC. I thought maybe they were a little fraudulent. But definitely one of the two top teams in the NFC. And
who's
all
the other?
We all know who the other one is.
For example, Giants. Fred, I was a hair away from declaring the game over, as you know I often do.
Might have been Paul's last hair.
At ridiculous times. They stopped the Patriots 3-and-out on the first drive. They get the ball and turn it over, you know, deep in Patriots territory in their first on their first drive. I would have said, third road game in a row. We're tired. There's our excuse. We're going home. They didn't.
Just disappointed by the edge rushers. Alex Brown, Agunlier, and Anderson.
Hey, you missed this too. We were coming back from the locker room, and there were players leaving out of the Bears locker room, and somebody goes, "Hey, Adewale." And I go, Oh, yeah, Goulier's on this team, huh?
Yeah, that was another
Forgot
one.
Forgot all about him.
Hey, it's good that some of our listeners know our phone number, because I know I haven't given it out all day. But Jamie's on the line from Houston. Jamie, how you doing?
What's going on, fellas? A win's a win, right?
A win's a win. It's a good win, too.
Not according to the rest of your Patriots brethren fans. I mean, everybody's just pissed off and think the Patriots stink because they beat the Bears.
I tell you what, though. We were talking about benching people earlier, and everybody but Brady on the offense, to include Belichick, should be benched. And I just don't understand how we claim ourselves to be some of the most prepared folks in the football business, and not going into that game prepared for the physicality and the ball protection. Obviously, they dropped the ball, and I think it lands squarely on Bill, and it was just a shame.
Well,
they were not prepped up, not coached up, not ready to play it.
Jamie, I don't know if you heard, but after the game, I mean, specifically, Belichick drilled that into their heads prior to the game, and after the game, I guess he just tore them a new you-know-what.
Well, they deserved it.
Right. But
he told them
prior to the game,
the
number one
about
is take care
it.
Of the ball, and that's why he ripped them after the game, despite the win, because they didn't.
So do you think then Bill's kind of let off the hook? I mean, if they're saying, or the players kind of confirm that, yeah, we know we've worked on this in practice, or maybe, it's one thing to tell somebody that, hey, this is coming, be ready for it. It's another to develop the practices and the preparation to ensure.
Yeah, but what do you
well.
Want for the preparation? Are you going to go out there and just have them get killed in practice? Then they won't be able to play. There's only so much you can do during the practice week to simulate a physical game.
You got to do something, though.
Hold on to the ball.
Yeah, hold on to the football. You can't simulate it, because if you simulate it by beating the crap out of them during the week, you lose on Sunday. Maybe you won't fumble, but you lose.
You've got a point, but I mean, there has to be a better way to get the message across,
and
get them executed better in that regard.
I hear what you're saying, but because we specifically know, because players said it, that this was drilled into their head prior to this specific game, and that Belichick was so pissed off after the game that instead of congratulating them on a win, I guess it was one of his.
Well, they deserved it because it was awful.
Yeah,
that's inexcusable. They're very lucky to come away with the win.
One of our inside moles told us it was one of the most heated rippings that he's ever given post-game.
Yeah.
So this was after a win.
Yeah.
So hopefully
it doesn't hurt the morale too bad, but hopefully they learn from it too.
Okay.
The other key part of it, though, was I thought Brady had a very good game. I thought his throws were more to the Brady form and fashion than we've seen. Probably one of his best execution of play this season. I thought the balls were getting there crisply. They were better, they were more consistent and just better overall. Did you guys notice that?
I agree. I think he had a great game. I really do. I mean, his quarterback rating was only in the 80s, but I think that's two picks. And they weren't his fault. I know you think the other one was a little behind Troy Brown, but went off his hands. So
the Troy Brown was 1,000% Brady's fault. It was a bad throw. High, hard, and behind him.
It was off his hands.
Exactly.
It's off his hands.
But do you have a key to your world?
Do you ever look at the game?
Well, I like Troy Brown, too. I'm not.
That was a terrible throw.
All right. Anyway, I thought Brady had a great game.
Yeah, I thought it was good, and it was good to see him, and hopefully that's what we see going forward. One last thing for you guys to kind of enlighten us on is your feelings as far as teams for toughness. The Patriots have kind of been known and tout themselves and have been recognized as one of the more physical teams, but clearly they were out-muscled by Chicago last Sunday. And where do you think the Patriots really stand up?
I don't think they were out-muscled. I thought the offense met
the challenge and they won the game.
Yeah, I don't think they were outmanned and out-muscled at all. I thought it was a good, solid, hard-fought, smash-mouth game.
I thought their defense just punished the line. I mean, they were harassing things. I mean, they knocked out a couple of linemen.
How many times did you see
the Patriots' offensive line? Is that what you're talking about?
How many times
I thought
did Tom
they
Brady
played tremendously?
Hit?
I think they played their best game
Tom
as a unit ever.
Tom Brady got hit once.
Right.
By Mark Andrews.
I thought the offensive line stood up very well.
On the
well.
Official stat count, he was hit three times.
Right.
Which is not bad.
He wasn't sacked.
No sacks, and he got hit three times.
So I don't know, Jamie. Usually you're spot on, but I don't know about
sorry,
today.
Sorry, Jamie. You're being lumped in with all the other fans.
It's all right. I just didn't think that they held their own as much as they needed to.
Well, I mean, when it comes to the ESPN hits, the Bears had more of those. But I in the trenches, I think the Patriots were were right up there with them.
This I think team, it was dead even physically. I got to be honest with you.
Jamie, do you get PFW?
Yes, I do.
Okay, yeah. You might not want to read my analysis post-game, just so you know, because I gave quite a ball washing to the offensive line.
For more than the obvious reasons.
Right, for other than the obvious that, oh, Andy wrote that, that can't be any good. Because I thought the offensive line was tremendous.
Yeah. The line was good, but again, the defensive line did to they physically ripped footballs out of people's hands.
Yes,
they did. They were just laying waste to the receivers and
running backs.
I mean, they were mashing those guys.
That's true.
I agree with that,
but I don't think the offensive line could have helped that.
No. Well, because they didn't have the lanes. I mean, the running game wasn't that strong. I mean, the lanes weren't there. They were denying them the lanes.
The pass protection was there, but it's a two-edged sword.
Yeah. The line is there to also provide lanes and open things up, and I don't think they did.
Okay. I still want to give some credit to the Bears, best defense in the NFL, because I think going into the game it is.
You know why you might see bigger hits and stuff by the Bears? Their defense is faster.
They're fast.
It's much faster. Yeah. The Patriots got old men back there like Bruschi and Vrabel. I mean, they play well, but they're just not as fast and as quick as the Bears.
All right. Well, that's Jamie on the phone. Thanks, Jamie.
Jamie's certainly online, by the way, with seemingly the rest of everybody, our listeners, got outplayed, all that. I looked at this game a little bit differently than I normally would look at a game that you win with five turnovers. I just thought that a lot of those turnovers were the result of great defense on both sides.
Yeah. Let's see.
Matter of fact, I would venture to say 7 of the 9 turnovers were in that department, in my opinion.
Well, let me
fumbled snap obviously isn't, and I don't think Dylan's fumble was great defense.
No, let me ask you a question. Now, they're showing highlights of the Seattle game. They had 4 turnovers last night, 3 picks by Hasselbeck early on. They came back. They won the game by 10. So should they be embarrassed by that? You know what I mean?
Actually, people are saying Hasselbeck had a great game coming back from his injury.
Right.
I just saw the penalty.
Did you see the penalty? They called that roughing the passer.
And he stopped. How can you stop in midair?
He didn't even wrap him up. He had his hands up and he left them up.
But I just think sometimes, hey, that's the way the game went. The Patriots pulled it out. If they had lost, we'd be killing them. How they can't win a close game, blah, blah, blah.
Yet again, they've lost to a good team.
They won.
Yeah. Let's see. Louis writes in Chicago Tribune's Don Pearson stated that the current AFC dominance of the NFC is based on the number of teams that play the 3-4 defense. Do you think that is the case?
That'll be interesting when the Cowboys make the Super Bowl. They play 3-4.
Well, I don't think it might just be the 3-4, but the fact that generally the 3-4 is a more physical defense, that makes the conference more physical. Whereas that whole Tampa 2 that's just run amok in the NFC
is
speed-based little players running around. So I think that's does sort of tie into it.
I got to be honest with you. Since I started working here, that's the number one thing I figured out from sitting at home on the couch. I do not like that Tampa 2 defense at all. It just lets teams go down. You're basically predicating that, well, let's hold them to a field goal. You let the team go down the field, and you're hoping to stop them at some point. You should dictate to the offense.
The problem is you take a defense that was very successful in Tampa. But was it successful because you were in the Tampa 2? No. Or because you had great players
Pro
like Warren Sapp?
That's what I was going to get
guys
into.
I guarantee if you put those guys in another defense, they could have succeeded.
In the last 5 years, who would you consider two of the better defenses in this Tampa 2 scheme? I would say Tampa Bay, vintage Tampa Bay, and Chicago now, okay? What is the key element of that Tampa 2 defense, according to Belichick? A big, fast, mobile middle linebacker, right? What do those teams have for individuals in those spots? Defensive player of the year types. So unless you got that, that defense isn't going to work very effectively.
Right.
I think that Indianapolis plays a Tampa 2 defense, and they're not very good at it, okay?
Right. And really, Sanders is their big, fast middle linebacker. He plays that position.
But they don't beat anybody. He's very small, by the way.
But he's fast, and physical.
I understand that. But the whole notion that the NFC isn't as good because they don't play against 3-4 defenses, I don't think that holds. Indianapolis is dominant against the NFC, too. Indianapolis is good. It's players. It's not scheme. It's not whatever
but
they
I
do.
Think
the Patriots could go 4-0 against the NFC North if they played a 4-3, believe me.
But I think the effort to get the Tampa 2 brings in softer, and I think you've seen a divide here, the NFC and the AFC. I think the AFC is a far more physical conference, top to bottom.
I think it's more to do with your first point than your second point.
I think
you're right.
Better coaches.
I think both things that you said, Andy, are right. but I think that I agree more strongly with your first point about players. I think if you had, I think if the Patriots ran a Tampa 2, or, you know, whoever, if San Diego ran a Tampa 2, I think they'd do it a lot more effectively than the Vikings and the Lions.
Yeah.
Right. But what I'm saying is I think it's not the scheme I'm talking about. It's,
no,
it's
I know.
The physical
I agree,
players.
And I agree with you. It's players. That's
right.
What I'm saying. I
mean,
agree more strongly with
Sean
your
you're bringing
he's
in a Merriman to be an edge rusher in the 3-4.
Right. Yes.
You sort of developed him as a certain position, and that sort of led to a physical – I mean, I think he'd be good in no matter what, but he's a 3-4 out – you know, he kind of is a product of the system in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Vince from Pennsylvania, I think we'll re-sign Samuel. We have to. We have no other good corners unless Hobbs becomes good, which is highly unlikely. Or we would let Samuel go and let Clement and get Clements, but that really wouldn't make much sense. It's also a shame Sayo is done. He really did great things for this defense, and he'll be missed.
Why wouldn't that make much sense?
Because why would they spend more money to get Clements than just re-signing their own guy? No, I'm just saying. It doesn't make much sense in terms of what the Patriots generally do.
Right, but your value is based on how good you are. And if they think he's significantly better than Asante Samuel, then he'd be a better value.
You don't
value.
Think the value has anything to do with their system either?
And
a guy that's been in their system for 4 years as opposed to bringing a guy from,
I don't
from
think
outside?
I think Nate Clements is a way better corner.
And he's going to cost way more money. So
I'm
the value
not sure
thing,
how way more is.
Well,
I think Asante Samuel is going to get a lot of money.
But one could affect the other, because if Clement signs first, it's going to set the market.
Right.
And then, you know, then Samuel
I don't even
will
think
follow.
Asante Samuel's in Nate Clement's league.
Well, I don't either, and I don't think their salaries will be in the same league either.
Jason we'll writes see. In, do you think the Patriots will bring in an inside linebacker to take Sayo's place? I've heard and read of Pfeiffer as a possibility, as well as Orlando Ruff, Ronald McKinnon, Earl Holmes, or Jamie Sharper.
Yeah, let's get slower.
Not sure any are really seeable. C-I-A-B-L-E. Is that a new word? Siable?
Signable?
It's supposed to be viable.
Viable?
Maybe
viable. Yes,
typo?
C is next to V.
although
what is good is that they will have a few weeks before the Pats play a team with a standout running back. What are the possibilities of a New England advance to a second seed? I'm thinking, one, the Pats must win out, and the Ravens and Chargers need to lose some games.
Well,
yeah.
I'm very much on board with that theory.
Possible.
I wholeheartedly concur, my man.
Possible, but not probable. And what of the interference calls and the inconsistencies from the first half to the second, as well as the other non-calls on Jackson when Yeoman played him as tight as others? Well, it is inconsistent. We all know that, though. I thought the call on Hobbs was a good call. I thought the call on Hawkins was questionable.
I agree with Fred on that. And I also thought that the non-call on Hobbs and Sanders in the first half was terrible.
Yeah.
I thought the call on Tillman, the no-call on Tillman could have been, that was questionable. I put that in the questionable category. The one thing I will say, and I got confirmation on this from the football people, I've heard a lot of people talk about face guarding on that play. There is no such rule. It's not in the NFL rule book. If you don't make contact with the guy, what Tillman did on that play is legal. They obviously declared that he didn't make contact. It's questionable. It's close.
Joseph writes in, Joey in Northport, Florida. Oh, that's who he is. Great game against the Bears. What can you tell me about Pierre Woods? Very upsetting seeing Sayo breaking his arm so badly. Missed you guys in the air while I was away this summer and fall. Good to be back hearing your broadcast and would love some of your input as to the linebacking core.
It's weak.
What about Pierre Woods?
He's a developmental guy. I don't think he's really going to get on the field and play that much this year. Do you guys?
Nope. I don't think there's anyone on the roster who I would feel very comfortable bringing in right now.
Well, I agree with that, but might, you know, one of these guys, either he or Mays, do they become number, you know, well, maybe not Mays, because I think probably Don Davis is number three now. But on the outside with Woods,
I would have
else
to
is
say
there?
He would be three.
Probably.
Yeah.
What do you think the chances of them playing more 4-3?
None.
See, I don't agree with that.
Well, they'll
I
be bringing in a linebacker, too, right?
I think if they have an injury or something before some of these guys play, I think they go 4-3.
Oh, if they have an injury?
No, I'm saying right now, without the injury.
No, then they go, say, 3-4. But if Pierre Woods is coming on the field,
yes.
I think it's Mike Wright or Jarvis Green
if
coming
on. If you're losing
the field.
One of your guys now, then that's a whole different thing.
But they'll be bringing in another linebacker this week, most
probably.
Likely. You would think.
I gotta think.
Chris Claiborne, did he sign with anyone?
I gotta think there's no chance whatsoever. Roman
he
Pfeiffer.
Suck.
Who's been
Monte
on the foot,
Bizell. Maybe they'll bring back Ryan Claridge.
I'd rather have him than Chris Claiborne.
You know, I know a lot of those names that previous emailer rattled off, we know that they had in, you know, the Orlando
Ruff,
or whichever one it was, came in for a tryout. So they have some background with some of these guys. I would venture to guess, like Andy and Tom, that they'll bring someone in.
Pat Pry from
Germantown.
I won't
venture to guess that someone will be able to contribute.
Yeah.
Pat Pry from Germantown, Maryland. Where is good old Casale? Always saying, but you know why?
You know what?
Just wanted to say that I wrote
right
an email.
Here.
I just wrote an email to John Rook right before the Pats-Packers game, and I predicted that they would run the table the rest of the regular season games. I think they proved a lot the other night, beating one of the best defensive teams in the NFL. You know how they were building up the Broncos-Chiefs game for Thanksgiving, saying Larry Johnson goes against one of the toughest defenses in the league. I think that the Ravens and Bears have way better defenses. In Denver, I predict, is on its way down and may not make the playoffs. I don't think Cutler will be the next Vince Young or Tony Romo. If Denver is out,
better than both.
Nice Vince Young. Nice.
If Denver is out, that is one less team the Pats have to worry about anyway. Patriots 13-3. Let's hope for the Ravens and Chargers to lose a few games here down the stretch, because I think the Colts will sit comfortably holding on to the something to the number one seed and save their next loss for the AFC divisional round at home. I have to agree with Fred. If Belichick is a defensive-minded coach, he will probably emphasize the importance of re-signing Asante Samuel because he's an impact player just like Seymour.
Sorry, no, he's not Ty Law anymore. Now he's comparable to Richard Seymour.
What did he say there before? Oh, first of all, Tony Romo's been in the NFL for 4 years. All right, so
you think right now Cutler's going to be better than Romo?
No, I think he'll be better.
Down the road.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you can't compare guys to Romo. He's been in the NFL for 4 years. He's been in training camps, preseasons, practices. I think, you know, Cutler will probably do what the other rookies are doing. He'll have his ups and he'll have his downs.
Right.
Okay.
I saw my boy Young's going to get hurt, huh? Chow might leave for a head coaching job in college.
NC State.
That's not good for Vinsanity's.
Speaking of that, Paul, we were talking about just a quick thing, Chuck Amato. How about Hobbs's boy, McCartney, at Iowa State? I mean, he took that program from nothing and brought it to bowl games. They have one bad year and they're firing him?
I agree.
These colleges are out of control when they're firing. Like you said, there's unexpected expectations at places like NC State and Iowa State that they should be competing
so many
for BCS
times
games.
These programs, these athletic directors just want to have their finger in the pot, and as soon as they have a disagreement with the coach, they get these boosters on their side and everything like that. And it's not fair.
I hate to be Breer, but I would like to ask Ellis Hobbs what he thinks about that, because that guy kind of took that program from nothing, brought him to a couple of bowl games. He has one bad season, they can him.
There's certain teams and at certain levels in the major conferences, you know. Vanderbilt, you know, is never going to be an SEC contender.
If they get to a bowl game, that's good.
That's a good year for them. And if they get to a bowl game 3 years in a row and then go 2-9 the fourth year and they fire their guy, that's laughable.
Right.
You know, Iowa State, know what you are.
Right.
Yeah. Eric from Manchester, New Hampshire, only 2 weeks left till fantasy playoffs. With McNabb gone, I'm stuck with Rex, Vince Young, and Cutler. Who do I start?
Go with the matchups.
I go with Vince Young.
Go with the matchups.
Well, yeah, I mean, depends who Rex is playing.
I wouldn't start Cutler until you see him play.
that's another good point.
Shannon writes in, a win is a win, right? Jeez, if that game wasn't one to make you insane, I don't know what one is. Pick, fumble, touchdown, fumble, field goal, and hey, that Gale Sayers guy playing quarterback for us can throw, too. But despite the back-and-forth turnover battle, the most troubling part of the game had to been the time management and being able to hold on to the ball with the game in hand. Coked out Caldwell ran a good route,
made
a good play, and then went out of bounds. I think he saw all of the white on sidelines and dove for it. As for Dylan,
Fred.
What?
You shouldn't be reading that.
This is an email. As for Dylan, I applaud the extra effort on his last carry to try and make for the first down, but he needs to get down and let the clock run. Those two plays alone, if done correctly, should have left the Pats with a 7-point lead with about 30 seconds left. They won, and that's great, but they left an unnecessary door wide open. Thank the dear Lord for Asante Samuel and T-Rex Grossman's arm. One more thing, that really stunk seeing Sale go out like that. He was a great addition to the team. I wish him the best.
Do we not see, like, the same game sometimes? I don't know. I'm a little screwed up in that.
I know.
Dylan fumbled. He was going to the ground, and he fumbled.
Right.
I don't understand where the –
If you want to complain, Doug Gabriel was trying for extra yardage. There's someone who was actually trying to go forward. Dylan was just, his fat butt was just going to the ground.
Alex,
that was a big fumble, but I give Caldwell a lot more slack for his play than everybody else does. There's a game that the ball's been stripped left and right all over the place, and he gets a 22-yard gain. That's taking more time off the clock than the 30 more seconds you'd get if he just fall into the ground.
What? You just three more plays.
Now, I am a big proponent of understanding the situation and knowing what's going on and whatnot. And it would have been a heads-up play if he had just gone to the ground and covered up. And you can't fumble if you're on the ground, because as soon as you touch, you're down by contact. But I think it's very easy to sit here and criticize in a game like that for a guy going out of bounds. There was over 3 minutes left in the game when that happened. They needed to get yards. Mm-hmm. They needed first downs. They didn't just need to stop the clock. I mean, keep the clock running. They needed a lot of things.
Alex says, are the Chargers a matchup nightmare for the entire NFL? And when it's all said and done, do you think Marty Schottenheimer will be in the Hall of Fame? I'll give that one to Tom.
He could be a Hall of Famer if he wins.
I don't know, because they were talking about
That's
Holmgren.
Still a pretty bad postseason.
Yeah,
run.
They were talking about Holmgren last night, and I think he's the barometer, because I kind of think he'll probably go. But if you're below Holmgren, I got to say no.
See, I don't think that he's below Holmgren. I think he's a better coach than
Holmgren. If he wins,
well, I'm talking
a
about
title.
The body of work. I'm not a huge Holmgren guy. I'm just talking about if you're looking at it objectively. Like Holmgren's been to three Super Bowls. He's
but he's won one.
He's won one.
I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
If Schottenheimer wins one or maybe two, say he coaches 3 years. I mean, they have good young talent, so they could be good for a stretch here. If he wins one or two.
But he also could be one of those guys. If they happen to win it this year, that it might be it.
Right. Coaches are tough.
How is he any different than Parcells? He's gone to a bunch of places, made him winners, and if he puts him over the top and gets a ring, I think you say he's a great coach.
That's why I would put him, and I think Tom makes a good point with Holmgren going to three Super Bowls, but I think Schottenheimer overall has been a better coach.
Yeah, I agree with
that. The body of work that he's done.
I think he gets a ring. He might be a Hall of Fame coach.
Cleveland, Kansas City, and now San Diego, he's built teams into being among the class of his conference. He hasn't been able to get over the top, and that's why right now he'd have no shot.
Right.
But I think that he's a pretty good football coach.
Yeah, and as far as the nightmare matchup, it's any team that has LaDainian Tomlinson is a nightmare matchup for anybody because that guy is a scary football player.
They could be the team that just wins it this year if they get it together.
Right.
If they get it together. They scare me.
But
their defense is active. And
they've lost two games, and you could make a strong argument that they kicked them both away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely kicked
now,
they
sort of got lucky. The same thing in the playoffs, you go home, though. You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
We've seen this too much the last 2 years from this team, that they have those games where they should win and they don't. And,
they're very fluky. Artie Knowles from Keene, New Hampshire, glad to hear you're all there. You all make the show. Anyway, where is Doug Gabriel? What else is going on here? He isn't awesome. He isn't a number one receiver. But Bill usually finds a use for anyone he has on the team in his scheming. So what's the story? I don't know. I mean, only really a couple guys showed up from the receiving end, Caldwell and Troy Brown. Nobody was catching balls.
His drop-off was instantaneous and dramatic.
Yeah, he had off the planet.
He was ahead of Rishay Caldwell. He was sort of developing into that go-to
guy.
Guy
that was emerging
and then all of a sudden
guy.
He fumbles and gone. Done. Now all he does is come on the field with Chad Jackson and block.
He plays 5 to 10 plays a game, and I haven't really seen a ball thrown in his direction since.
No, he's a blocking back.
Yeah. Earlier, when we first started, I was talking about the pressures of the NFL, and maybe there's more pressure in the NFL than any other sports, and maybe it's getting to a lot of guys because you're seeing more teams with locker room problems and guys attacking their quarterback and all this stuff, and Andy disagreed, but Bob,
surprise.
Bob Lee,
I think it's all sports.
Writes and he says, I always thought this way.
Outside the lines, Bob.
In what other sport is there so much scrutiny and overanalysis of games because
game.
Of the time lag between games? In addition, for the players, there is less room for error. If a goaltender in a hockey muffs a 100-foot slap shot or a three-pointer in basketball missed at the buzzer, it is a hot topic for 24 to 48 hours, then becomes yesterday's news. In football, if a defender commits pass interference or an offensive player fumbles and loses the game, the error becomes more egregious. One loss becomes a virus. Two losses in a row become a near-death experience. And three losses in a row mean the team stinks, fire the coach, replace the starting quarterback, blow the team up. In addition to a system of sudden death playoffs, you are not allowed to have a bad game. The pressure must be enormous. If the Pats could only finish 12-4, would the regular season be disastrous?
No.
No, it'd be a great regular season.
I think they will finish 12-4. I think they'll lose one more game and they'll end up 12-4.
And that'll surpass my expectations coming in.
With a probable third seed, possible two seed.
Let's see here. Jeff in Vegas says, I just wanted to chime in and say how happy I am that the Pats got that win. I was really happy that they were able to protect Tom so well. Urlacher said after the game that he was shocked that the Bears were not able to put more pressure on Brady. With Graham and Neal back, they really seem to have shored things up.
You know, that's a good point about Graham, too, because I also heard Belichick talked about they max protected most of the game the other day. And, you know, Graham's obviously a part of that. So,
well, what is
maybe his, you know, because I don't think that Watson's the accomplished blocker that Graham is.
Well, then Urlacher, if he says he was shocked that they couldn't get enough pressure, it means that they were trying to and couldn't, or he's calling out his coaches for not calling that type of defense.
Well,
so,
Lovie Smith said they max protected the entire game as well.
But Urlacher was still shocked that they couldn't get pressure on.
I think he's shocked. I think he was confidence in his front.
That's what I was there when he said that. I think he meant he was surprised that they thought coming in that they could pressure Brady.
Right.
And that they didn't get to him was surprising.
I didn't really see that much out of the ordinary of that comment.
Belichick
calling
has,
out his coach?
No, I said I'm asking it's either one.
I don't see either one being a possibility.
Well, why was he shocked that they couldn't
get pressure? Because he thinks they have a pretty good defense.
Okay.
The question, Brad, was...
So the Patriots did a pretty good job.
Wasn't I there?
That's my point.
Wasn't I
so why is he
right
calling
there?
Out the players?
I said if that's not what he meant, that he would have to be calling out his coaches.
Fred, when you're done babbling, I'll tell you what he said. Are you done?
You know?
The question was about the turnovers. Was he surprised by the turnovers? And he said, yeah. He said, I'm surprised there was that many turnovers in the game. And he said, the thing that surprised me the most, though, was that I thought we would get more pressure on the quarterback. He said, you know, we thought coming in that we would be able to get to Brady, and we
right.
were able to. So I don't think he meant it in any. I just think he was saying he was surprised that.
And he's surprised, and his surprise is because he thought they could, and the Patriots stopped him.
Right.
So you got to give credit to the Patriots' offensive line.
Exactly.
Why was that calling anybody out is my point. You said it's either calling out the coaches for not putting more blitzes together or calling out his players for not being able to get them.
No, I didn't say that. I said either he was shocked that they couldn't get pressure.
Give me some help, Tom.
I don't know. You know what?
Why do you always do that? You know what he said.
No.
Just say it.
Paul,
I don't listen. No,
that's exactly what you said.
My point
is,
I don't know what he's talking about. I never know what he's talking about.
Okay, now you're on my side.
I said he's either legitimately shocked that they couldn't get pressure because the Patriots stopped them. Or
that's not what you said.
Or he's calling out his coaches for not calling
the pressure.
Okay,
we can move on, but that's not what you said. What you said was it's either he's calling out his players or he's calling out his coaches.
Well,
that's what you said.
I don't want to get into it with you because you get mad when people yell at you.
Well, it's funny how two other guys are nodding their head.
Yeah.
I'm the only one that heard it wrong, but two other guys are nodding their head.
Well, that's what I meant, Paul. Is that okay?
I said that's fine. We can move on, but that's not what you said.
Is that okay?
Guys, John Rooks here. We shouldn't have these fights with others around.
Can't make
fun of Paul.
My guess is
you can make a big joke.
Rook is ornery.
I like it when you guys fight.
Ornery.
I'm past ornery.
I mean,
that was probably three hours of the most miserable football I've watched.
Not even the Big 12 championship game.
You're down on the Patriots game, too?
Brutal.
Not even the Big 12 championship.
Brutal. I know. It was awful. Absolutely awful.
And have Oklahoma steal it from you.
Well, I kept thinking, though, that as I was watching Oklahoma State on Saturday, I kept thinking, you know, I'm not sure I really want Oklahoma State to win this
game.
Yeah,
I would have felt the same way.
Because
I would have
they
the
would have gotten
exact
smashed
way.
By Nebraska this week without Colt McCoy. They just would have.
Well, I wouldn't even have been looking at it that way. I would have been looking at it as I don't even want the opportunity to play another game that means nothing in the grand scheme of things. I would have agreed with you. I would have been disgusted with my team's performance and not really worried about backdooring
as I was. So, and actually, I'm kind of happy that Gene Chizik is going to Iowa State now, to be honest with you.
We were just talking. So. Not only we were saying we were surprised McCartney was fired because he's done well at Iowa State, but then they
last
hired.
Last couple of years, though, I mean, they've
yeah,
really
but he's
haven't...
built up the program pretty well. Usually guys like that,
that's
you know, it's hard
place.
To win
that's
there every year.
That's a hard place to win.
But I thought that hire stunk.
What, Gene Chizik?
Yeah.
Like I said, he's never been a head coach before. He had, you know, the obviously really good year at Auburn and had an undefeated year at Texas. And, you know, that's a tough place to make your mark, you know? That's a tough place to make your mark, especially in the Big 12 North.
We were talking about
good luck to him. Now, if they could just get rid of Greg Davis, his offensive coordinator, I think we'd be all
set. Well, have fun in the Meineke Tire Bowl or whatever.
Oh, God.
That's
no,
where PC's
no, wait,
going.
Wait, no, I'm rooting. I'm rooting for the Gator Bowl so we could have the Big 12 ACC matchup with Boston College.
BC can go get to a bowl that big?
Yeah. Yeah. They still could. I don't think they'll go.
Boy, has the bowl system been cheap.
I don't think it'll happen. But
yeah, I don't think
that. That would make
BC
my holiday
lost
every
bowl
team
season.
They played that had a pulse.
I thought they specifically said that because of that loss, they wouldn't get to a bowl like the Gator Bowl.
They still can. Because the Gator Bowl has a choice. The Gator Bowl decided they wanted BC for some reason.
Yeah, it doesn't matter about record.
Why would they do that?
It's all about money and how
much. It's all about choice and money and how much you bring.
Wake Forest isn't going to bring anybody.
No.
Probably
not.
Neither is BC.
Although, they probably bring more than Boston College.
Yeah.
Tom, in all honesty.
Don't only like
BC doesn't travel at all.
Forest,
yeah, but I mean, shoot. They
BC
have
has a hard time selling out home games.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, just Boston College doesn't travel.
Then they ain't going
never
to the Gator Bowl.
Never will.
End of story.
So, now, it won't happen. It's my pie in the sky, but it won't happen. So.
All right. Well, John Rook's back. We got a ton of emails that we didn't get to. I apologize for that. But Gary will set up.
We'll chew them up. We'll spit them out.
John can handle them. I know a lot of it's related to stuff that we were talking about. So, Tom, John.
Well, tell me what you were talking about.
Well, a lot of people aren't really impressed by the win.
Yeah.
The four of us were very, very impressed with the win.
Yeah.
And
as was I.
It seems that Patriots Nation was not.
I guess I can understand that.
I can't.
Because you had the five turnovers and it was a less than superlative performance, but I look at it pretty simply. I'm sure you guys have already gone over this a million times, but frankly, you still beat a team like Chicago with five turnovers. That's pretty good.
All right. Well, we just did 2 hours without a break because we had so many emails. So, that's good. Maybe you can do the same, John.
Fred, you're the boss. If you say so,
yeah.
It'll get done.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow here in PFW in Progress.